This is going to be a full
October
room, but I'm going to make do. Thanks, Tom,
22.
For accommodating us. I don't think we've ever had a meeting here for FPOM.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In this room?
You weren't here.
Oh, that was in the back
that
of the
room. That was during your tenure.
Ah, so.
We need to be downstairs, but.
Everybody got a copy of the agenda. Yes, yes. Is Heflin coming over?
He's out back talking on the phone.
Somewhere out there.
Okay. Good.
The sign.
There's a sign-in sheet going around. Of course, Tammy made her famous Halloween fingers. So if you say finger up or finger down,
yes.
Or if you're kind of in between, you should do that. Tom, so you'll be doing that a lot, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Bend over.
I didn't say that. I just said in between. Split the line. And anyway, it is October, and we have a bunch of things to cover. I know that we were talking about a TIES task group meeting after. Of course, Schwartzy did not put together the FGE information because he is working on TSP information for tomorrow. Yeah. Apparently, there's a big TSP meeting.
There is.
For you guys.
Big, I'm not sure, but yeah.
So we can meet. I've got some data, but if you want to wait until we get the real FGE data from this last year.
I need it.
We might want to do that. Just think about that. And I apologize. I requested it several times, and this morning got my email.
You got the finger.
I got the finger. I sure did. And it hurt. It hurt a lot.
John, you can come up and get stuff.
So going over the agenda, any add-ons? I know that we usually have something to tag on here. Scott, you good?
Pineapple cake.
Add-on? Gary, you have anything to add on to the agenda?
No, not now.
Nothing more.
We have an additional coordination form.
Any additional? We do have an additional coordination form that we'll have to. Do we have a copy? That
no,
one
I
you just sent
out.
Tammy sent it out like at the last hour. Tammy made these peanut butter butterscotch crunchy things that are pretty amazing. And thanks for stepping up once again.
So there is coffee and water behind us.
And there's coffee and water right here.
Thank you, Tom.
The bathrooms, where are the bathrooms up here?
Go down and then take a... the women's is right just down this way. The men's is go down the hall, take a left, and you'll see about the drinking fountain.
Okay.
Not in the drinking fountain.
Are we using
the elevator stations.
All right, well, with that, let's get going. Any add-ons to last meeting's minutes that you've all reviewed?
So thoroughly.
It wasn't our last F-bomb. I apologize. I know it went like an amazing 8 hours, but you guys appreciate everybody stepping up for that. And you listening to all of that again and putting it in on paper. All right, well, I'm going to approve these minutes.
John, did you send in your comments?
Yes, I incorporated those.
Okay. Is there anybody on the phone? I guess I should do introductions. Ben Houseman?
Tim Wick in Walla Walla.
Hey, Tim. Tim in Walla Walla. Anybody else?
Hey, Tim?
Yeah?
This is Tim Dykstra.
We can
call you back. I mean, you're welcome to stay on, but looking at where this is on the agenda, it's going to be, I would say, at least an hour and a half before we get to you.
Okay.
Do you want me to just give you a call when we get closer?
Either that or I can call back in an hour and a half.
Well, why don't you call back in an hour and a half, and I'll call you if we get there sooner.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay. Bye.
So that leaves nobody on the phone.
Have left the conference.
Ben Houseman.
Have joined the conference.
Ben Houseman, okay. Hey, Ben, how you doing?
Yeah. Good.
Welcome to F-Bomb.
What is it?
I said, yeah. No, this isn't any kind of parenting class you're talking about.
I might have called in the wrong number.
Yeah. Ben's just getting back from almost a month off. Taking care of his new baby boy, Liam.
Hey, congratulations.
Big congratulations to you there.
Thank you very much.
Right. Good work, Ben.
So I hope you reviewed the agenda because you have a lot of items.
You didn't have much to do with it.
Yeah, I'm a wealth of knowledge, believe me.
And if I hear you snoring, I will be yelling at you.
Got coffee in hand. That should be good.
Good. Okay, we're going to go around the room just so you know who's here. We're at the CritFic conference room. Of course, I'm Bernard Klatt with the Corps.
Tim Dykstra, Corps.
Dave Marvin, Patagas.
Scott Fenton, EPA.
Bob Cordy, Corps.
John Bailey, Corps.
Miros and Dolan County. Day.
Greg Moody, Corps of Engineers.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Doug Bowles, Corps of Engineers.
Dave Benner, Fish Passage Center.
Tom Moore's CritFit.
Tammy Mackey, Corps.
Greg Frederick, Malice.
Shane Scott, Public Power Council.
Bill Hevelin, Marine Fisheries.
Bill.
John Whitaker, CritFit.
All right. I know that if Stancil could not make it today, so he's out. The only real report he's going to have from the FFU is that he's putting together a presentation for the Sea Lion Task Force, which will be the 24th and 25th, I believe, this month. So it might be worth bringing that to FPOM at some time, or at least sending out the presentation.
Yeah, that'll be
pretty interesting. So let's get right into the meat of this thing. Action items. Our very first one is the Fish Passage Section 2.422J. That's talking with the cleaning of the VBSs at Bonneville Powerhouse 2. This is just kind of an awareness that we all need to review that. So when we get to the point of changing it or accepting it at our annual Fish Passage meeting, if you want, you can comment now. You can comment through your agency's comments for Fish Passage Plan, which are due the 20th of December from the region. You can look on your calendar just to remind you, the calendar for FPOM. And while we're talking about that, all core personnel comments are due to Tammy and Doug by, what do we got, November 1st, so they can get a draft together and out the door for review. Correct, Doug? Am I on schedule? Yes, that is correct. You
say that is correct.
Are you talking to Taylor?
Yeah, my mother's
hand-me-downs. So, any further discussion on that? I'll just keep moving. That's just kind of an update, really.
All FPP changes, including Appendix A through...
Whatever you can
provide. Appendix A will not be in by November. Lucky if we get it by April.
Good.
But, you know, all the stuff, the change forms that we've gone through, and anything that you find that as you review the FPP for each project.
That's been a little bit earlier this year.
Well, we're trying.
We're going to try.
What was the date for the FPP?
For 29. The region?
Yeah.
20th of December.
29.
Yeah, 20th of December.
Okay, it's not on your
a little Christmas present, too.
No, I know. It needs to be on there.
So you can just get that off your back, and you don't have to worry about your comments. The Fish Passage Plan.
It's actually a birthday present
right now.
For Doug.
That one's not big enough, sorry. 20th of December.
Yes.
Of course.
We will, and then we will have the draft available for the FPP meeting. That's why we did it the 20th. Plus, it's Doug's birthday, so what better way to celebrate?
Here you go. Enjoy.
With a Christmas Christmas ornament. We will have to have a little Christmas ornament exchange.
I'll announce it next month, too, Doug.
Dead shed don't count.
Dead sheds?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
You have a problem with the 20th?
I'm going to be in Mississippi before.
Thank you very much.
What hoodies did you bring?
Wrapped out
all my fingers.
Oh. First week of November.
The first week of November, the comments are due from the Corps to the Corps.
When's the draft out for us to review?
So once we get the comments from the Corps, then Doug and I will put together the draft and send that out before Thanksgiving for you guys to have hopefully at least a month to review.
A month or closer.
Wow. Can you deal with that time frame?
Yeah.
What do you guys?
One week to review it.
Wow, you got a bunch of stuff going on.
Well, there's a review.
That's the end of November, last week of November.
Yeah. All week, first week of December. I mean, there's Thanksgiving. There's AFAP review. There's a Cerdic trip for
operation.
We should be able to get them out earlier.
I'll get them out the 8th of November.
Talking, there's a lot of stuff happening between now and the 20th of December that's going to make that. Maybe there's not a lot to look at.
You may not get full comments.
I can get the Portland core comments together and out by the end of that week or by the 8th of November. So.
And then how about if we follow up with the Snake and McNary project soon after, like a week after?
I can haul the stuff down to Mississippi. That's okay. It's just a matter of there's a lot of stuff going on. So.
What's the Mississippi trip?
It's TSP. Bonneville Turbine Operations. So that's actually at
TSP.
Really?
Wait a minute. You're supposed to know that.
TSP, well, if my TSP guy was here, I would have known. Yeah. Of course, he never...
to keep you up to speed on
Yeah, I had no idea. So what's the dates of that TSP trip?
That's the week of the 13th of December, and it's to look at the operating ranges at Bonneville 1st and 2nd Power House.
If we could even do that.
I know Scott probably has something to say about that, but...
No problem. Don't! Just don't need your tickets.
I'm going to open that up, and if he doesn't, that's fine.
Okay.
No, actually, it's still on.
Still on.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
like no.
We have at least clarification, so it's still on.
Okay. Hey, Ben Houseman, you hear that date? December 13th, Bonneville TSP operations trip to Erdic.
Okay.
If, at the minimum, let's send Andrew there.
Or you can bring the whole family, Ben.
Okay, thanks. I'll figure it out.
Deep fried turkeys and Thanksgiving, nothing better.
Ben, did you know about that trip?
No, I didn't.
He's been gone now.
He's been gone since what?
It would have been rarish. It might have been the one.
We've been talking about this for months and months and months. So. And it's been scheduled for more than a month.
So do we need to have TSP update FBOM like as a
phone call?
When it involves OM issues, it's just design stuff. No, it's OM. That's it directly. This is the change decision passage plan.
Yes,
they
sent
it. Thursday. Okay.
It's a
you can come back Thursday.
Suggestion to change passage plan. I know there are other issues out there, but at least we have technical basis.
Yeah, there is a little separation between the ops and planning a little bit there. And
there always has been. That's nothing new. It's just we'd like to.
So I will just, I'm just going to start. Let's put an update for updates. Let's just have planning give us an update every time on any O&M issue. And that'll force it. Gee, what a decision!
Wow, that's great.
All right, I'm
done. Shattering, but it's all yours.
Yeah, you're not.
Cookie, that kind of an idea.
Give that man a cookie.
Thumbs up.
Yep. For planning.
Yeah, thumbs up. Okay, so we can. Anything else you want to add to that whole discussion? Schedule.
You have me till 3 o'clock, so.
I have till 3 o'clock here.
No, you have the guys have the room later. I have to be gone at 3 o'clock.
Anybody else have any issues with time today besides not wanting to be here till 3 o'clock? Do you have any schedule conflicts?
Yeah, let's get 6 o'clock.
Noon and with O&M, no way any chance in hand.
You might be able to do that. And now to pick up the pace, pit tag detection at the AFF. Oh, Mr. Lors.
And I'm going to divert you to Mr. Whitaker.
Mr. Whitaker. According, we're looking for some plans, and you're going to have some discussions, and the photos didn't cut.
There he is.
Yeah. The photos didn't cut the mustard. So we need to see some plans.
Plans.
Yes, we want to review the plans for the pit tag detection at the AFF.
Well, the latest from BioArc is that they don't think they can put it in without moving the man. The exit to the rail plug. Most of the primary spot of interest is the exit to the rail plug. And they don't think they can put it in without moving the exit, which I think would be a great idea, but it gets into a whole lot of other issues, and I'm not sure if I really, what's it going to take to do that. They're hoping we could just stick something to the exit and be done with it. But That gets into a lot of other issues, and I'm not sure that...
So do we need to discuss this, or can we just move on?
We need to discuss a whole lot more.
This will be for the AFF task group.
Okay, so that'll be an AFF task group meeting, for sure.
That has to be part of the AFF task group.
And without doing that, I just don't think it's worth doing the rest of it.
We have a definite problem with that area.
Yeah.
That exit and the return line where fish are coming back. We've got a lot of good fish this year on that 13 drain, grading, valve 13. And I spent a lot of time out there just staring at it, trying to figure out what might be best. I looked at the elevations to get back to the ladder. You know, the fish that aren't sampled, that drop back into that thing, have to realign themselves with the flow and get out of there in seconds. So they're up against
that. I don't like that. I would like to see that.
And any fish that comes out of that wake up rail, you know, if they're not with it and going, they're instantly up against that grating, and that's just not good. So we need to figure out a better way to route the fish out of that system back to the ladder.
Yeah.
And what I don't want to do is end up aggravating the situation with the fish egg.
That was my concern, is that we see something further out.
I was
questioning whether that was applied to here.
Last time that came up, I said, no, I'm not
thinking
of that.
But
we need
to modify the
system. I had some ideas.
Okay.
And I asked Tammy to try to pull together a piece that we can start looking at modifications to the facility. And I don't know where the core is at, I'm glad to hear that, but... at least the technical side of it and the ideas out there.
Don't worry, it's
going to happen. I'm thinking more of just, feeling wire and duct tape. I'm thinking,
We've been thinking about those others too. It's just
a set of 10 people.
I guess there's always a conflict in what's doable immediately. And I would love to see something change for next year at a number of fronts.
Well, I'd like to get the long term started though, because the more we talk about it, the less we do, the longer it's going to take to get done, obviously. So I think we need to establish what the concerns are. I mean, we've got a mortality list that's pretty long this year, longer than I've ever seen it. I know some of those fish are injured and stuff, but they shouldn't die there. You know, that's my position, is they shouldn't die in the Bonneville Dam. They have problems. I want them to go somewhere else and die, but not stuck on a drain in Bonneville Dam. So we need to get them back to the ladder so they continue the journey upriver and die someplace else. But not a Bonneville.
So what are the next steps here? Obviously, we need to meet with the AFF task group and find a time, and the sooner the better.
They need to sit down and really talk through, the core. With the University of Idaho, anybody who's using the facility should be there. And anybody who has concerns about it, we determine what we want to do and what the costs we're looking at, what can we do short term versus long term. Let's get it going. And I've said this many times in the past. We've made changes out there, and I think they're for the better, but we didn't fix them.
Right, and our task group does have a long term, short term type solution. It sounds like we're going to have to add to that. And if we're going to do something this winter, the sooner the better. We need to get that decision.
If we can. And I'm really thinking more out there to get something really modified. There's concrete cutting and we have to change elevations of how we work. We have to raise the whole thing up so we can get back to the ladder instead of dumping these fish in that pool that is moving about 10 feet per second or higher into a dead end. That just doesn't make sense to me. So that's probably the biggest problem involved with that facility. The other way I can see to get those fish actually back to the ladder itself would be to elevate. These need to be higher than they are. About 3 feet. It's not a lot, but it's a lot when you look at what's there.
Right.
You have to move everything
3 feet ahead
is.
Is it worth doing that or just looking at a whole
that's kind of the cheap route versus that's
know,
not cheap.
It's
cheaper than leveling the building and starting out something completely, which I'd like to do that too.
Do you guys have any thoughts on this issue?
Well, I mean, I agree we can just get started.
All right.
So we can get at least the temporary fixes for next year started to bring you the opener time or something. But yeah, I mean, we definitely want to be involved in I'm not sure how often you guys meet.
Well, you're usually there. So. Right. In fact, you've been there every time.
You're the chairman, aren't you?
What's that?
I thought you were the chairman.
Well, if I'm the chairman, let's do this next week.
Good luck. I'm okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, can we actually nail down a date for at least the FPOM AFF group to meet?
The first week in November, I think, is the earliest that people can meet.
Yeah, we've been batting those days around. We just need to pick one. There's a lot of meetings that are floating right now for the last week of October and the first week of November.
Is there a particular day everybody has free? We could just do all of our task group meetings in one day.
Wow.
SHAD, TIES, and AFF.
In that order. SHAD, TIES.
I got the whole week open except for Friday.
What, last week in November? Or
first week in November.
First week in November?
The week starting 31 October.
Dave?
Depends on what day you pick.
Why don't you pick one?
Thursday.
Bingo. Thursday.
Fourth.
The fourth.
Okay. There's that Cormorant meeting that Jenny's trying to.
I know. There's just things are piling up.
I can think of three or four different meetings that
people
are pursuing, but first come, first serve.
First come, first serve, it's the fourth.
Morning or afternoon?
All day, starting at...
All day?
No, I don't know. The afternoon one will probably take a couple. First of all, we got to find a room, so we'll send it out, but let's plan from 8 to noon. Or 9 to noon?
8 to noon.
8:30 to noon,
I can do.
8:30?
8:30.
Oh, wait a minute.
All right, 9 to noon.
If you want to drop my kids off, go drop my kids off at the bus stop, and then
you write down 8, we're all showing up at 9.
I'm usually in at 8:30.
9?
Bus stop. I know all about that now.
Thank
it's a joy, isn't it?
8:30
noon.
And
this is just the AFL. We're not going to cover all.
Yeah. I think we could.
The first two will be quick.
Ties?
No
ties.
Okay, we're done.
No fishing, no ties.
If you want to just say no ties now.
It's going to be a little more difficult.
Yeah, I know. You got to look at the numbers.
Well, if we have all the running ahead.
Shall we go 8:30 to 2 then? Is the lunch break in there? All day?
I'd rather knock it out if we have that day free.
9 to 4?
No, not 4. But
that's all day?
Got the bus. 3.
6.
7. 9 to 2.
We can't go all day.
Not with this stuff.
What do you want?
9 to 2. With a lunch break.
No lunch break?
With a lunch break.
15-minute lunch break. Bring your lunch back to home. Done.
9 to 2.
So what are we all covering in this one?
That's going to be the SHAD, the TIES, and the AFF. We'll start off with the AFF, and then we'll have the afternoon for the TIES and SHAD, so you guys don't have to come in.
Confirm with Roger that he can make SHAD. Otherwise, there's no reason to have a SHAD discussion if he's not able to make it. So,
has anybody talked to Roger?
We tried to set up some dates, so he's been on the email chain. So we'll email him and see if that works for him.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, your long-term plans for your AFF long-term plans include bowling these temporary... the tank detectors into the full interrogation system for the Washington Shore Ladder. Well, I'm just curious. Okay.
We need to get plans.
So we definitely need to have a plan because we need to be involved right from the very beginning. At the very least, we want to make sure that any new installations or construction does not impact your existing detection capability.
What we probably first would need to know the purpose.
All healthy.
Where in the system?
Pineapple, almonds.
That one sliver of almond cookie.
I'm not sure what the purpose is. I'm only concerned about you have it set on the exit. So that's all fish that are sampled and tagged. Ongoing. That's one, and that's a that would be interesting because of the the size and shape of that particular area as it exists. But if we modify that, if we wanted another area, then that's, you know, I don't know what I'll be here. So.
Right. My question is, what Jeff's proposing, what he's brought to the table, is research specific for QuidFic. And to this point, we're not aware of any plans to incorporate those detectors into Patagas. And so if the long-term plan is to add additional detection capability within the AFF and the return ladder, then...
So your concern is that it becomes part of Patagas?
My concern is that if it's going to become part of Patagas, we'd like to be involved with that.
I think it should be.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
And that's why I was asking what the long-term plan was.
That's good.
You need to be involved.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
right now, we don't know. So, it's a little open slate.
You're more than welcome to attend that
task group. I would like to.
Yeah.
Good.
Your input's going to be very important in any kind of designs we do or changes. Okay, can I move on now? Or
just one last issue. So, in the past, we've had trouble sampling large fish because of the tank size. Is it worthwhile to talk about modifying tank this year until the other plans are done, or should we put that on hold?
Well, that was part of... let's wait until we get to the meeting. That's kind of cart and horse.
I'm just saying, start thinking about it.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's definitely part of the long-term.
Let's make sure we send out
that, but in the meantime, considering long-term is years out, you're probably going to want to have a...
And the more critical thing, the more critical thing. Well, that's the thing. If we want to sample, we need to think of an upper bound, saying we think most fish will fall. Say the biggest fish will probably have like 105. Set up a tank that can fit like 105 centimeter fish. I mean, that's things like you make a fish that a tank that fits 100, then what if you get a fish that's 105? I mean, we need to have some sort of thinking about this.
I guess you can't find sockeye in there.
Sockeye? What sockeye?
That's the very odd.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have been looking at in the beginning of the tank, too. Some people who build fiberglass tanks near the trade show and look kind of like it might be an approval.
You might want to have a rail or something, too, if you just pull it.
It's all kinds of talking and they build a lot of these sorts of things, all kinds of options. I love to do a better way of measuring fish. I don't like the way we measure the fish. I like to see if you keep in the water the whole time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I like to do differently. I'm investigating it. I was hoping to have something a little more solid by now, but
okay.
I met these guys in Pittsburgh and haven't been around too much since then.
So I just want to just be thinking about, like, if we want to tackle the tank, like, what size do we want to go with? So we don't come to the meeting and I'll go, oh, that's a good question, we'll get back to you.
Yeah, I think you just want to go as large as you can accommodate, and if it's too big, I mean, if you can put a braille on it, you don't have to worry about fish being lost.
Yeah.
6 inches long or 6 inches wide, or...
Cool.
All right.
I'm done.
Done? All right, well, let's move on to lamprey orifices at McNary.
Yeah. Hey.
Derek Fryer, is he on the line?
Hey, Ryan and Ann, are you guys on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Are you?
Derek.
Who's that?
That was Ryan.
Laura.
Hey, Ryan, is Ann planning to join you, do you know?
Yeah, she said she would be back in until about 11.
About 11? Okay. We're up in the action items right now. We're gonna get to the McNary juvenile bypass adult fish screen issue. We'll make that the first agenda item after updates. So my guess is we're probably talking quarter after 11.
Okay.
So you're more than welcome to stay on and just give you an idea of when we're getting to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and I have a projector I'm going to fire up here. Hopefully we'll have it on the screen here when you're up.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. So 2.3 McNary lamprey orifices. This is just an action item that Derek Fryer, I think Gary or Tom, someone had asked for. Just, we had told you, you know, there was a couple instances of interactions with small jacks, and you just wanted to document it.
Documentation.
And so.
I have one comment on it.
Okay.
You just went out today.
I just got a hold of it. Yeah. The only thing I would change is there's really no reason to downplay the sockeye issue. What this does is there were seven jack salmon, maybe sockeye, but no adults were impacted. There's no jack sockeye. Those were adults. So I don't see a reason to downplay it by saying that. I mean, there were seven likely sockeye that were impacted by the orifices. I mean, the percentage is tiny, but that's just kind of, that statement doesn't ring true to me. So, and it sounds like an attempt just to say, yeah, these are jacks.
So if we just cut off that last sentence.
Jacks, that could be a
Yeah, no, I gotcha. So if we just cut off that last sentence, so that section will just read seven jack salmon, most likely sockeye, attempted passage at the open orifice, table one, and then just cut off that last sentence?
Yeah, I would cut off that last. Well, you don't have to cut off the Chinook. I mean, the thing is, these are likely sockeye. So I would just say that it was likely that seven sockeye attempted passage at the open orifice.
Okay.
I realize that you don't know for sure if they were jacks or sockeye, but I think what you saw from the video was very likely sockeye.
Okay.
So I would just say that.
Just so people know, this was just sent out today, so a lot of people are probably digging around looking for it. You don't have a copy of it.
You won't find it.
Printed it yourself within the past 2 hours.
Yeah.
The percentages were tiny, and it's just the spin.
It's in your inbox.
Yeah. Okay, we'll change that.
That is fine. Yeah.
But the point is you have a kind of documented record of the interactions.
Thank you for putting it together.
Yeah.
Derek,
I will pass that along. And also, just as far as an update, I asked Derek if he wanted to give us an update here today. I didn't hear back, but I think for an action item for next month is just to get an update on where we're at with making sure this write-up is just through the July, early part of July. So we'll give you an update on where we're at next month's FPALM. So.
Okay. 2.4 is a request for an update on the Bonneville SA24 board. John was going to provide one at the next meeting, being October's FPOM. I know Ben just got back. I don't know if you've dialed in. Ben, do you know what the update on the SA24 board is?
I don't know anything new, Vern. I mean, it's budgeted for it, but I don't think it's been a budget except for maybe 2012. So unless we had year-end money or something, I don't think it's going to get done.
Okay, so the issue here is it controls the Washington Shore entrance, and it's got to be done manually now instead of automatically. And
not ideal.
It's not the ideal, so.
You got a lot going on with that. You know, I mean, that's the... You got the Lamprey entrance going in next year over there, and a lot of attention being focused on that ladder system. And here we have an automated system that's no good, it doesn't work. It seems a little.
Yeah. So I guess we need to get a cost estimate, and maybe, I mean, this year I might be able to fund it if it's not.
I can get that for you, Vern.
Yeah, thanks. I was just thinking, you know, maybe we can tie it into that Lamprey work.
Yeah, because we've got an adult study going on. We've got the Lamprey mods. A lot of money to spend on the system.
Okay, so let's make an action item to contact Sean Tackley and bring him into this, see if we can pull something off here.
Because he's running around the morning right now. So.
Yeah, he's not responding to anybody right now. Probably not running around too much either.
No, he's starving.
Oh, he's on the AK? Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, tickets to Maui were really cheap for this month.
Yeah.
$200.
Oh, they were. You said to stay for a while.
I don't know, but I know there's Nathan's going next week, too.
November FPALMS is canceled?
In Maui.
No. FPALM meeting in Maui.
There you go.
It's in your traveling budget.
It's in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, long shot.
Let's move the model to Maui.
Yeah, why don't we have models in Maui? What's up with that?
They're all direct flights.
That's right, you have direct flights.
Okay, so we'll see. We'll see what we can do there. the minimum it can be a U for process for us, and it's not too ridiculously overpriced. Goose, low flow spill. Tim, you're going to confirm that you buy LGS passage study to FPOM?
Yeah, so.
In a trip to Urtic.
I haven't sent that out yet, and so the action item is I'll get back and do that. So, as far as the trip goes, I think last month we talked about that the 24th through the 28th. And so I've talked to folks back in Walla Walla, and we're all on board with that. So whatever, if you wrote it in pencil, you can now write it in ink. We're going 24th to 28th, if that still works.
Feb?
No, January.
January
24th, 28th. And this is just to refresh people's mind on this. The whole purpose is, you know, try to make sure that we're all informed on what how to better make this trade-off with juveniles, adults. Try to ultimately avoid it, so it's not a trade-off, so that it's, you know, we don't have to keep doing something that's good for juveniles and then good for adults and flipping that. But so as far as the Urtic trip goes, what I plan to do internally within Walla Walla is put together kind of a list of things that we think we should be taking a look at down at Urtic, and then bring that to FPOM next month so that folks can see that and offer up suggestions and say, hey, I don't really care about that, but if you could add this instead. So just be thinking about what you'd like to see down at Urtic. So, I mean, if you have anything off the top of your head, you can share now, but I will bring back kind of a straw man next month. So, so we can give us your input on how to spend our time down at Urtic.
One of the real important goals, Tim, is to come up with if we don't get that hoist built for Spill Bay 1, so we can we have the flexibility of changing the weir, taking it out of operation daily. If we have to bring it back in. If we don't get that, we've got to have an alternative operation, and that's what I think is important for us to come up with.
Yeah.
That alternative operation.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a CRIFM project that's funding this little goose work, and so we're all good. Sean Milligan will be attending and participating down in Urtic. We've already talked to folks down there and getting the thing watered back up, and so the ball's rolling.
Keep the bulldozer away from it.
Seriously.
For attendees, if because I know some reps probably won't be able to go, do you have a list of who you're thinking of picking, or
For this trip, you know, I think Bill was planning to go. I was hoping you were able to go.
Tentatively, yes.
And
you might grab the adult guy, Dave Benner.
You want to go?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Rick Kruger.
Rick was planning on.
Well, we'll see. His dad has some health issues, so he may be burned up some time.
What are the dates on?
24th to the 28th of January. I know this is one that Eric Volkman sent me an email back 5 months ago saying, hey, what do you think about this trip? And then Jason was kind of in on that. So I was assuming that someone from Bonneville was going to be there. I would hope someone from Bonneville. So really, this is one, you know, in part, if you talk to Sean Milligan, Sean feels like he has a pretty good handle on some of this, but...
Yes, he does. He's not been proven right, but that's all right.
So I think part of it is, there's some things for Sean to learn, but some of this will also be making sure that everyone's on the same sheet of music, because I know there was, this spring, there was quite a bit of difference of opinion. And some of that opinion was based on experience out of the model. Some of it wasn't. And so just getting everyone up to speed, I think, will be helpful. So
you're going to put together like a basic straw man here and then send it out and
solidify it
over the next 2 months?
Yeah, I think I'll send it out before FPOM and then in November. And then we can – my goal would be to walk out of – November FPALM with a pretty well-defined scope of what we're
agenda.
Accomplishing down at IRTC. So, and I wouldn't, I think Sean will probably be at least on conference line as we finalize this next month.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Great. All right, 2.6, Tom. Tom will schedule a date for the AFF test group to meet.
Well, why didn't you bring that when Jeff and them were here?
Because I said did.
We already did it.
November
4th.
You already did it. You're way ahead of us.
I just want to make sure you're fine with that, taking care of the other issues as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Parallel lead issues.
Parallel lead, pit tag bias.
If you want to add that to it, I'll definitely not be at that meeting.
The AFF test group.
Sweet, I'll definitely
November 4th.
Be sick that day.
Yes. We will come to your house and we will take you.
You have to find my new house.
I will drive you.
You have to find my new house.
I'll wait for the kid. I'll wait for the kid's bus stop.
That's the problem. Damn it. That might work.
I'll go with you.
Okay. Put a hood over him.
You're going whether you want to or not.
2.7, John Day North Crowder. Sean was going to report on the repair plan. I have not gotten there because I didn't get a hold of him before he
We got it
off.
From Natalie.
You did get Fitterwick. It, so that is good. Everybody's good with the update on that? Good
for those who went to Fitterwick.
The crowder is working.
It is working.
Last week.
Yeah.
Is it crowding?
However, the cleaning brush doesn't clean the crowder windows box. Isn't capable to clean that yet, so it's still up overgrown with algae. And the working on the brush, the cleaning brush doesn't appear to be making the proper contact with the surface because the surface is apparently to or something like that. They're continuing working on that.
Okay. Is this a good time to talk about CORE's training for confined spaces? I know that we've changed our training requirements. Haven't we?
Yeah.
Fall protection and there's something else.
I think Rare said she
did. He did? Okay.
I thought he did.
All right. I know we have some new training for getting into confined spaces, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was talking to John about it last week. And,
fish ladders are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're talking about field unit cleaning the
ladder. Yeah, no, but there was something else. He was talking about some new training requirements, so I'll follow up on that.
So for what's clean the space? You mean like JBS, things like that?
Yeah, like do you call on everything?
No, that's building a powerhouse. That's bad enough.
Okay.
If you mean like draft tubes and stuff like that, we don't usually have these guys going there.
All right.
But we do occasionally go to draft tubes or
surveys.
Occasionally, but not regularly, so it'd be special training.
Right, so
any training go through the pipe?
That gets
well, I was just having this conversation with John about training, and I was just thinking about all the stuff that I've seen you do that probably needs certain training for.
Oh, well, I just don't tell
you. I know. Your camo.
It's better that way.
Wearing your concrete camo.
Yeah, I've been out there so much, I don't notice me.
All right, just disregard that comment. I'm just thinking out loud, obviously.
Don't do that anymore.
I won't. 2.8, Walla Walla Fish Transportation. Gary is going to determine if late season transportation lower Snake River projects will be required in the future for transport study purposes. What have you got for us today, Gary?
Nothing. Nothing. Paul is gone. He was on a almost 2-week bike trip in California. Actually, it was more than 2 weeks. So he's been out of the office almost the entire time of the week since last
week. Last one? Yeah. All right, we'll just
we
put that.
About 15 pounds, you turn sideways, you can't even see it.
Wow. Just from a bike trip?
Yeah. Oh, he went 1,000 miles, just short of 1,000 miles on a bike. 900 or so miles.
I guess you're talking not a Harley.
No. I wanted to California to the other and back. From
Portland to downhill.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But notice this, I have not had a chance to sit down and talk.
All right. We'll put it on next month's agenda.
Yeah.
2.9. Tim, you got some goose navigation. How many times have towboaters requested changes?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't able to get a specific number, but I was told in general terms it was multiple times a day. So if you recall, it was our August FPALM. regularly scheduled FPOM that we had this discussion about tow boaters. And I think within 15 minutes of our decision here, we had a boat go through Goose and use that that new protocol. And in general terms, it was at least a couple boats a day for the rest of August that used that. But I don't have a specific number, but I was told generally at least two, sometimes three boats a day that were able to, that could call
the project
at
the entire system.
No, Goose.
Yeah, this was it was actually for Lomo and Granite. Once the Goose weir was shut off, it wasn't necessary for Goose.
I don't think it really matters which project. I think it's probably, we'd say the same thing.
Yeah, it was.
It was their. If they wanted it, they could use it.
Right, and
their call.
And most boats chose to use it.
Yeah.
And so it was what I was told in rough terms is about two times a day that they would shut off the surface weir, and
is it just for downstream boats?
No.
It's for down and up.
Down and up.
And I did want to, regarding fish passage plan change forms, I do have a draft, and I need to circulate it into RCC, and it'll be coming out soon. But that's another thing, because on the navigation issue, you got to watch what you wish for, because the verdict's still out, because evidently at Granite and Lomo, they're using it differently. And so I just want to say more to come.
I thought there was a potential trip to Erdic to look at approach patterns and modifications to patterns, co-patterns, and things like that. Remember that discussion?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was just a discussion.
So I haven't heard anything further about it, so I don't know if further refinements to patterns was necessary here. One is documentation of usage, how much of it changed.
Well, and I'll be providing some of that too in the change form, basically trying to better hone in on what to do for next year, because navigation, they're asking for different things at Granite versus Lomo, and operationally, just on communication, from talking to the operators, there's quite a differing opinion on this navigation-friendly spill pattern. So just trying to find a balance between what makes the operators happy, the barge operators happy as well, but also making sure we're running the weirs appropriately. So,
well, in the past, we've had the towboaters come down to where they can actually work out the
right
patterns on the area.
And we had some great input at FPOM. It was nice that some of the reps came, but even between the navigators and the project operators, there's a disconnect on the friendly pattern and how it's being used. And so we'll need to better understand that so we can do an operation that works for folks. So more to come. I've got a change form drafted up. It's going to get some RCC review, go to Walla Walla, and then
just
hopefully...
you're going to be down there in January working on dues.
Okay.
If there's an opportunity, I don't want to dilute it too much, but if there's time to work on...
Strong, yeah.
Those guys would be working on... they might lose issues, but they could work on... And then the tow boaters could work on these things, and they come up with stuff...
Right.
The reps can look at them.
Right.
So
or have them down there to look
for everybody. That would be preferable than having a skill check.
Regardless, I think that if we can schedule it for there, we should do that with the tow boaters.
Yeah. I thought that was talked about. I just haven't heard anything more about it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really took it much past there, except for until now.
Well, the opportunity is maybe there, just to down there.
No, we'll.
Already.
I think Doug, you and I, and get some like Lynn Reese and some other folks talking, so that we're making sure we're hitting this, and so I think this is going to be a conversation we'll have to continue, maybe even later this week.
I agree, because I think what happened this year, we jumped up and down to help navigators. We did some operations, but I just want to be clear to folks that the outcome of that, the how did it go for everybody, I guess we got some negative feedback from the project operators. And so I guess it seems like there could be more to come as far as what might a different operation look like that could satisfy a multitude of folks, or maybe just it is what it is, and it's
going to... Well, that bothers me. I guess I'd like to see everybody in the room.
Right.
Talk it through so we know.
Right.
I thought we walked away from here in that last...
I did too, but so for example, here's a subtle nuance. So at Granite, for example, we had an operation we thought that worked for folks, but it just basically what I heard from the dam operators that just the logistics of communication at Granite, you basically have a very short window of when you can radio ahead. And so oftentimes he was calling it being sandbagged, where oftentimes the operator or the towboat operator would get what they wanted via a modified operation, but the project operator felt it was being perhaps not used appropriately all the time because the wait time would be significantly longer than anticipated. So here you'd have a project operator who essentially had set it up, got the operation looking great, and was looking at his watch saying, oh, they should be here, they should be here, they should be here. And guess what? Nobody's here. And so then they go back to normal operations. You got boats showing up, and so... That's an example.
Yeah,
of
that's something we just need to deal with the towboat and say, if you're going to do that, this is your window of opportunity. You get this much time to call before, and then you're not there within that time.
Right,
because the whole goal on this is to make it's to keep our fish passage structures in operation as long as possible while we're ensuring safe navigation, because a barge full of diesel spilling isn't going to be fish friendly. And so the goal is to provide safe navigation with our fish passage measures in place. So we just need to coordinate. We'll have some conversations. I think Doug...
I've got them drafted up. I've got change forms drafted up. They're getting internal coordination right now. And then I'll be working with Tim to get those out for distribution.
Yeah. This sounds more like a communication coordination problem than it does a safe spill pattern problem.
Right, and that's fine.
That's what we'd work on at Erdic.
Right.
We would, and I thought the uniform spill patterns of those two projects were okay.
Okay. And you may be right on. It may merely be a communication exercise, and that's the easy solution.
Yeah. The best solution is to have a pattern that doesn't have to change for anybody.
And usually it does. It's just that this
low flow
tail end of the hydrograph here is, and I agree with you in concept, but this,
not possible.
I'm not seeing how.
We haven't found it yet.
And we haven't found it yet. There may be some opportunities there, but most of the year it's not an issue. Most of the spill season, those weirs are in service, the navigation proceeds without problem. It's just that. You get around that 30K in the snake, that's when you start to see those problems.
Okay, can we move on now?
Yeah.
The Shad Fishery Task Group will be meeting on the November 4th, and hopefully we can get Roger Dick Jr. there. 211 is the issue we had with Marvin scheduling a... SRWG during FPOM, and you straighten him out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
he's walking a little funny now, but it's all good.
Got a liver
from Marvin. He should
be fine. I like this SRWG versus FPOM. We did. Obviously, we're meeting here today so that SRWG can proceed on FPOM's normally scheduled date on Thursday. But for that January...
You know, they're going to cancel that meeting. I love
what's that?
They're going to cancel the meeting.
Don't tell me that. But for the January meetings, January FPOM will stay the regular January FPOM, which is the 13th or... I don't know.
The
14th?
We have two meetings on that day right now.
So you have FPOM on that day.
So it's going to be there. Okay.
Yeah, and I can't tell you what date Marvin's going to pick. I can just tell you that I've had the conversation with Marvin, and he's agreed that that day will change for SRWG. And now, FPOM is now on Marvin's calendar.
Recurring?
Recurring.
Good.
So we should be set.
Ready.
So, sorry for the hassle on this, and thanks everyone for helping make this date happen. But FFOM will remain on the second Thursday of every month.
Okay.
With the exception of November. Right?
With the exception of November, which is a federal holiday. So.
Oh, okay. And so it's on the 17th. Is it still on the 17th?
January?
The 11th.
November?
January's
13th. Yeah, November 17th is FFOM. Mm-hmm. And then January's FFOM will be the regular, the second Thursday of the month.
That FFOM is on the 17th.
You can
jump ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. That one's weird,
not
that one.
Be in Walla Walla for a February meeting.
Yeah, we were talking about having it at Bonneville, right?
It's at Bonneville.
It's at Bonneville.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll give us a head start to get out there.
Oh, which one, the January one?
November.
And we will make sure we get it done.
November 17th.
Bonneville.
We'll hit just the hot topics.
Yeah.
To start with.
Hey, Ben, can you confirm that the auditorium's reserved? I think John did that, but...
I think he did, too. I thought I saw an email, but I'll check.
Thanks.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, so that wraps up action items. Dun, dun, dun.
How about December? When is that from?
Second.
December 9th.
Niner.
At Noah. But the November one is at Bonneville.
Yes.
And
if you could book all the second Thursdays at Noah for the next year, that'd be awesome. It's the best place to have a meeting, especially for you guys. But really, it's just a much better room. No
thank you, though, Tom.
This well, you know, what else you got?
Oh, jeez. Except for this room here.
Yeah.
This is our my second no favorite room. Let me go get my finger.
Where's it go?
I want the curved finger.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you do.
Curve to the right.
Let me remind you, this is being recorded and is posted to the web for review.
Yes. But whoever listens.
Yeah. I do.
She gets to listen to it twice.
It's more than a federal operating range.
Okay, so did you want to jump in before or do the updates real quick?
I think we can do updates. I'll fire this
okay.
up.
Yeah. Bob.
Bass.
Okay. Bass gut samples at the Dalles.
And?
So this is the Dalles bass guts, but we don't have a final report out for that yet.
And who did this? And
we did it.
We being
fisheries. Like Project Fisheries.
You went bass fishing?
No, I wish. The dam anglers were out there.
Right.
So doing the fishing.
We you did some lavage.
Yeah. But the results on it were no salmonids. We found the guts just out of 16 samples. We're shooting for 100 samples, but we just never could get the catch rate. So. That's what we had for the Dalles. And for John Day, the final is attached to the agenda. I think I briefed you 2 F-palms ago that it's just basically 20% of the bass that we saw, 20 to 24% of the bass that we pulled out of 50 samples had confirmed salmonids in their guts. So, that's alarming or not, I don't know.
What was the predominant diet of the bass, if it wasn't salmonid?
If it was, it's cellular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's zero.
Yeah.
Looks like about 14%. 7 out of 50.
Yeah.
So what's the plan ahead here? Are you going to do it again? At it?
Well, I'm no longer at John Day, so... the Dalles only now, so I don't know what the future plans are for John Day and Europe and that, but for us, we plan on going forward at the Dalles to get more fish next year, and hopefully try to get something out of catfish and walleye, too. Problem is, we don't see that in the bycatch from the dam anglers, so it's going to be tough to actually get samples from those. We could get catfish from the draft tubes easy enough, but I don't know if that's representative of what we'll have on the river or not. So
these dam anglers catch these fish and then throw them back in?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Catch and release for bass.
If they drop them on the if they drop them on the concrete and kick them around a little bit before they get them in, that'd be nice.
Yeah, we try to convince him of that, but
Oh, darn. What the hell? Jeez.
So regarding John Day, my question is, how do we proceed in the future? We already got some indication that there is predation. Now, if we want to quantify it, I think it should be done on the side of the project means with a professional study going forward, if we really want to determine the extent of that predation. Because it will take more fish than it will take.
Yeah, and we were just kind of winging it, you know, with what we could do. I'm sure there's flaws in the study that a lot of people can point out, but that's just what we saw. So we know they're eating them. That's just more confirmation that they're eating. We already knew it before. We just looked in the deck, you know, and watched them.
Yeah, we have a down, but cool study, too, from the eater that we showed. Small
one quick second. So
one thing I wanted to point out on the John Day study was that we just basically got percentage of salmonids in the guts, and we were hoping that we would have really good comparable information that we could compare with in-river studies, but it's kind of apples and oranges, because a lot of the in-river studies, they weren't really looking at just percentage of salmonids in the guts. A lot of them were looking at percentage of salmonid weight. And they were looking at several different things. So we really couldn't find anything that you could truly compare. Plus, 50 fish.
I think if you look at the studies that were done in the 80s, they analyzed them by percent of volume, percent of weight, by volume and stomach content, things like that, or contents. Which you might be able to, infer average weight to your salmonids to do the same thing by number. Just to see if you're in the same ballpark as they were.
I'm not exactly sure what the objective of going by weight was.
It's percent volume. It was just like
different weights. So.
It is likely that predation at John Day 4 Day is higher than elsewhere in the reservoir, based on our casual observation. But, it probably isn't consistent, and it's going to be hard to determine the details of that predation. So I'm saying it's going to be quite an effort. I wonder if it's really worth it. What are the possible outcomes? We know most likely that during the peak passage, the predation may be higher, but it's probably not higher across the border.
I think it's important to be addressed, because it seems like we're spending so much money and effort just to get a percent or two at the dams.
Yeah.
Could be losing it right there at the face of the dam and the fish that we're catching and releasing. Who knows?
But
I'm not saying that that's confirmed, it's just that it could be.
But also, if we do find out the predation is higher than everybody thought before, that would put us at odds with the state management programs for the smallmouth bass.
No, they're not going to like it either way. So.
We've been through that already. There's a lot of discussion. You're aware of the Matt Mason's program, of his work ongoing in the John Day pool. So he's looking at smallmouth bass right now, so that's part of the ongoing study.
And if we can get them closer to John.
Have you made these available to Matt? Have you contacted him?
I'm not. No, I don't think we have.
You should. Make sure you
put it
with that ongoing effort, because that's a big program. And we're spending money on it right now.
I'm hearing that Bob is recommending to continue this study for another year. Bob, is that if possible?
Well, I would recommend it, but if somebody else is doing it, I don't know if Matt Mesa is getting close to the dam or not.
No, he's not. This isn't a restaurant.
I would recommend getting close to the dam.
Well, talk to him, because I know
he'd be more than happy to expand his study.
The data that you guys have as well.
So double it.
All out of the part of the same.
Double the cost.
You're in the same reservoir.
Yep.
So, at least the John Day study. But all the political issues associated with this, so it's not easy.
So that was the concern initially, with the numbers that were coming from the John Day Reservoir were pretty low, and all the state folks have talked to, they're like, why do you even care? Look at the results.
Yeah.
But, my question was right there to face it.
Yeah, I think it's higher there. And it was even for
what those guys found, you know, Beamster and Raymond and all those guys back in the 80s, they found that the highest rates of consumption were in the BRZs, you know, for the piping zone.
They can't be from anywhere else.
Thank you, Bad Luck Hope, for other non-native drivers as well.
Who were those researchers again made?
Beamsdorfer, Freeman, Vig, Steve Vig, Tom Fone.
Yeah,
actually, a lot of that's in Poe's. You know, Poe edited most of the summer reports on those. So there's a whole slot. I mean, that stack, maybe that high of reports.
So, I guess the action here is to first contact Mesa, find out what he's doing and what relation it is to what we're doing, and maybe he's going to throw a study proposal at you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, you can at least look at that, and then you're going to plan on continuing.
Or do you plan on continuing? I should add to that, too, that Pacific Station Reef Fish, is they did the dam angling this year, and not USDA, and they're supposed to have a post-season meeting, and at that time, then we're going to talk about the whole basket collection and what they think we can do differently.
You made sure that you send us that meeting date?
Yes.
And in myself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one thing
I know.
To catch fish and lavage, look at, throw back, that's another remove and kill. That's another detention.
Yep.
You guys in public category number one from DASS.
And they have more money than we do.
They do.
Power treasure boats.
Fast boats.
Yeah, my dad's got one of those. Goes 74 miles an hour. Ridiculous.
I just heard that the top guy this year was getting close to $70,000, which is a considerable increase over the historical
opportunity.
Yeah, income, because I think in the past it used to be $40,000, the first guy, and I think it's probably the same guy.
You guys proposed to remove those fish who don't want to walk around and be that exposed.
Oh, yeah.
You want a different hard hat? Don't get
one.
All right, let's move on. The FFU Chad County one pager FBOM back in August. We requested a one pager on the fish counting station. So, of course, Stancil put it together, and I forgot to overlooked it at the last meeting.
Yeah.
It's attached to your agenda. You've seen it. Has anybody reviewed it?
Nope.
Basically, it's looking at all the discrepancies with Chad, also at the other fish counting windows. There's a lot of issues that can be changed by lighting or the video cameras, placement, the different type of equipment. So he's got this proposal here.
So he's looking for...
He's looking at the whole thing.
Looking for O&M funding?
Yeah. So... I'd like you guys to at least review this and get some comments back to Robert. And if we can move out with some funding on this, then we will. Of course, one of the big issues is the shad counts and how that impacts counting salmonids.
Well, the question
the
is, what do you need?
Coming up, too, is also sockeye counts, as I briefly talked about back in August, too. Where he not only had sockeye counts, but also handwritten notes on each sockeye that passes. And that's quite a bit of fish nowadays, thank goodness. But you know, it's a big issue right now with fish counters, accuracy, and during daytime counts. So maybe that one's Snake River.
Did IDF&G want those?
IDF&G suggests they like to keep it on because they get the information that way. But, you know, it's come to the point where it is really every count in the Snake River.
Shad.
No,
sockeye.
Sockeye. Get rid of those.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
No, the point.
you know, this data's good, yes. But it does require another person there sitting in the camera.
Right, so
it does.
Some of this would be basically QC in the data with video to see what kind of error there is.
That's you guys are responsible for counting. The shed issue is something I think, you know, there's, we go down the road of this proposal and do a bunch of studies, but I'm one of the ones guilty, I guess. I don't know if I want to put it down, but I guess really the key is, do people need the data? Is there anybody that's going to squeal if you quit?
That's a good question.
And if nobody does, then, you know, Costanza's going to go down the road and go, okay, you know, yeah, there's an effect. Okay, what do you want to do? We're back to square one.
Well, I mean, Bonneville makes sense for shad. Do we need it up river for Bonneville?
Do we need it anywhere else?
I would think
an area maybe, or ice or something. But do we need
with the split offs, maybe. Yeah.
Where in the Walla Walla district are we counting shad right now? I should know. I should be the one answering this question. But
you can answer it really easy right now.
It's there's zero. So
you guys aren't counting shad.
That's looking at all our conditions. All conditions into the ladders are the county ones. So there's like window glare, there's a whole bunch of issues.
We are.
On top of the shed.
I see.
So he wants to evaluate all the known problems and at least look at that from window glare to position of the person. You know, whatever their, I don't know, their angles and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of issues.
Yeah.
Why do we care
about the number?
No, what data we collect on the granite on the next on the socket.
Well, there's a couple different issues going on here. There's the shad counts, and then there's the sockeye counts. Obviously, sockeye counts are going to continue.
It's just the handwritten notes.
The handwritten notes for each sockeye that passes. There's no other species that we're collecting a handwritten note for every chinook that passes, every individual. And that's what we're doing for sockeye. Yes.
Who's got you doing that?
I know.
Idaho Fishing Game has you doing that.
Well, we started a long going.
1,600 sockeye pass, and you got to have a note.
You got to remember, this thing started 10 years ago.
Every one of them's got to have a pass. Not only at Granite,
but it started 10 years ago.
And at Ice, there's four dams. Every one of that fish is counted four times with four pieces of paper.
And then those get faxed into our office. So it seems like it made sense.
We started about 10 years
when
ago.
When there were 10 fish passing.
As with Deborah.
And you could track 10 fish
you could track
passing up and down. Doesn't
That's
make sense when
Deborah
there's
was still coming to F-Palm.
20, oh, I think now
the Deborah,
over 2,200.
Who's the girl?
Does that make sense?
Did you run out of document?
Yeah. From your office.
That info goes to Idaho?
It was right before Sabatis left.
Oh.
Wasn't it Deborah? Diana. DeMarcus. Yeah. That's when we started this.
Well, that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
No.
I would move that you guys... Yeah. I don't see an issue for handwritten notes. You count them, obviously. I would say Idaho Fishing Game has got to come up with some pretty salient, important issues of why they need to have this extra information on the sockeye.
I would think that you could do a condition fact. So you just write it down, like you do just for monitoring, as you scale, it's not as kind of seal point, whatever. Just take note of that, you know, as a punch it in. It's another tab. But
yeah, I mean, if Idaho Fishing Game is really big on getting this extra information, then maybe you add it into the count thing where you have like under sockeye.
Right.
But I would encourage them for you guys to rethink the handwritten.
Hey, Greg. So what specifically did Idaho Fishing Game?
Probably length and condition.
Say they wanted.
What they're getting is the length of the fish, actually clipped or unclipped.
Yeah.
And general condition of the fish.
But we already, like, you can go online for all, you know, for Chinook, you can tell if it's clipped, unclipped.
Oh, yeah, you get that.
I mean, from sockeye, you should already get clipped, unclipped, and sockeye. Now, length and condition is, do they need that?
What are they going to do with it?
Can't they provide their own person?
Oh! So, to me, this This seems like...
Do I look like Idaho?
Why are we painting?
Talk to them. The way we count Chinook and the way we count Steelhead should be the same way that we count Sockeye. And so I think we need to... push us a little bit more. If they want additional information...
Well, maybe you throw them a bone and say, we'll add the... Because right now you're not doing clipped, unclipped sockeye. You could add that. Say, hey, we'll do the clipped, unclipped sockeye for the count. This other stuff we're going to drop unless you guys want to fund some... That would make sense to me.
Just like we do clipped, unclipped Chinook.
Yeah.
Even that's got a problem. I know. She did some... Which she had spent in her office did analysis last week. They were looking at sockeye escapement. And found that we have 20% fallback rate at Granite. So the numbers there, I think there was something like 2,030 fish or something like that that passed. Really, it was more like 1,600, which is the same as lowball and goose. So, you know, you see a clipped fish go by, now it's one. Well, now you got two clipped fish, but really it's just one. The visual counts are 20% off based on the pit day.
They weren't looking at the handwritten notes.
And we're not looking at the handwritten notes, but you could have two notes on one fish. Mm-hmm. What is that telling you? And that's getting kind of confusing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're two separate fish. Or?
Yeah, so now your rate of scaling up enough.
I'm just saying, if you want to throw them a bone, you could say we'll do the clipped on clip, which makes sense to a degree. But then this other stuff
really
dropped.
Changed the escape, too, because their escapement loss was 40%. Now it's going to cut it down.
So it sounds like Russ Kiefer needs to get contacted, and he's got to, you know, provide a formal request to us.
Oh, some justification.
About why and what and what's he going to do with it and why.
It's just grabbing data because you can, and affect the other pounds.
But that's separate from Stancil's little... this is a spin-off of, you know, what's going on up in the sockeye.
To wrap up the sockeye issue, we'll write up an email in Walla Walla between Greg and I, send it to Russ and others at Idaho, Mike Peterson, and basically let them know kind of where we're heading with this and give them an opportunity to kind of lay out
their
perspective on it. But at the same time, for me, you know, clipped, unclipped, counting the fish going past, that's all legit and we can do that. But if we're starting to get the numbers like we are now, if they have additional data needs, then they may need to be providing the resources to, you know, whether it's a person sitting there counting or sending them tapes.
I was going to say, send them the tapes, they can review them.
That's sort of where I'm going with this.
Say it. Here's your tapes. Enjoy.
Yep. You guys know all about the tapes.
You're the master. Master of tapes.
As far as Stancil's, the Dell shad counting, I mean, when do we? Who says we don't have to count above Bonneville? Is that?
I mean,
who's using that?
We've just been using the problem. The issue was that the Dell's count is always a fairly large percentage higher than Bonneville.
Right.
Wondering, what's the population size? Which one?
Is it Bonneville or the Dalles?
Now, if we don't have the Dalles count, then we wouldn't know that fact. Probably just fine.
There is a note on the website that says we're contemplating getting rid of the counts at the Dalles and let us know if you're using them. Yeah, Dalen put that on there, I noticed. And so, you know, I want to check, just to double check to make sure someone has commented.
Okay. Well, as far as this, I mean, it sounds like if we do get rid of the Dalles, then that's fine. But as the rest of this stuff, I think we're going to...
That sounds kind of like adjustments within the...
Who cares?
Share a little bit over.
Right. That stuff we're going to do regardless. New video equipment. I think the main thing was do we want to go ahead and evaluate the shad at the Dalles, or shall we just not do it at all? You fine with that?
I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
Cut it.
All right.
Well, I would say, how about this? We have a shad task force meeting come up.
Right. Make that decision and...
Yeah. Just say, hey, people are going to be closer to interested in shad. We'll probably get that one. Say, hey, is there any reason we need the Dalles count?
Do we have...
The only reason that I can see, but we don't really need it is when we exceed 5,000, then we need to up the low. Well, we just got the bottom bill.
Just do it on the bottom bill.
And just then keep an eye on the ladder. That's fine.
Yep.
All right. I like that. Okay, so we'll wrap that up at the November 4th meeting. But it sounds like that's our plan forward.
I was planning to move forward.
Unless there is some kind of objection coming from
the SAD Association.
Page or Dave, you're good with the shed.
Close your eyes just a second.
Issue.
I'm going to put this.
Yes, WDFW, the main player there. Okay, 3.3, we already talked about the brush. Bonneville Gantry 7 schedule. It's going to be moved out of here as a contractor issue.
The gantry crane?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we heard. And then Tim's got 3.5 on about turbine water cooling strainer, ladder winter maintenance schedules.
Good if I just jump to...
Do whatever you need to do.
Okay. Hey, Ryan, you on the phone?
Yeah.
And Ann, are you there?
No, I'm not Ann yet.
Okay. Do you want to wait for Ann, or do you want to just move forward with the presentation now?
Fingerling bypass. I don't think it's called that, is it?
Right back in.
Okay. We'll just let me know when you're back. Okay. We'll I'll move on to 3.5 while we're waiting for Ann on the phone. So just our typical cooling water strainer update. And essentially, this is a quick one because in September, all Snake River projects were checked and no lamprey were found in the cooling water strainers. So
to give you a heads up, Bob Hyneth is formulating a thing where he wants to know, is there ability to check strainers more frequently than once a month?
Like daily, just to make sure you don't kill
them? We're thinking every 12 hours, actually. Yeah. 12-hour cycle. We want to get that diurnal effect, you know. That's what we're looking for.
Have you seen the strainers?
I have had some discussions, and this was a request, and I'm bringing it forward from the Lamprey Task Group.
They want them checked how often?
They want
twice a day.
Yeah, no, they're talking like, I think they originally were talking about once a week, and I said, if you guys are super lucky, you might be able to get bi-monthly, but I said weekly is probably unlikely. I'm just throwing that out there, you guys.
More than once a month?
That's
we'll start with that.
Hence I started.
Well, now looking at it on a monthly scale,
was that just
they're trying to get a better way of trying to figure out when lamprey are passing in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, look at the months where we see.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think we can.
We might be able to do that.
Have a discussion with folks.
That's what I was suggesting. Is this would be a great topic to bring up to the monthly lamprey task groups and have get a recommendation because you guys will be there. Have you guys work out a schedule? Because that's the group that needs to make the decision that stuff. And if you guys feel you can do it, great. And then Brent say, hey, to the FBOM say, yeah, we can do it or not. Bob sent me an email and said, hey, we'd really like this information. It helps when the screens aren't in or that kind of stuff so we can get a better idea of lamprey passage. We'd like to do weekly. I said, weekly, I don't think you're able to do. I was going to suggest, and I think you're already there, is that
I've joined the conference.
I think the concept would be is take a look when you got your highest passage. That might make some more sense.
Data that you're after are important. The method is pretty haphazard.
Really? You think the strainers aren't the best way to sample lamprey?
Right. That's what I'm
really?
Saying. Wouldn't it be better to propose an acoustic type study to look for these guys in the winter? Because that's the only time they don't have sampling going on.
Have you seen the acoustic work when they're trying to measure something that looks like a string?
Well, I mean, you're talking about trying to get them through a grading that's about yay big and a scroll page.
I am not arguing.
That's got about three.
I'm not arguing the legitimacy of either technique. I'm just saying I think there's limitations on both. I would say this is a.
What's your capture percentage?
What's your FGE on this one? Yeah, no one wants it. Yeah.
What's the sample rate?
Once again, all interesting questions that might have been brought up once or twice before.
By 100% or.
We like 3,000 actually. We prefer that. So hence the reason I think the Lamprey Task Group would make a very logical sense to bring this up and say, hey, you know, these are some great questions.
I don't attend that. So.
Hey, you could. If you want to make a guest appearance, go for it.
I will. On this one. Huh? Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I think I'd rather try to get a something.
A better methodology.
What Lamprey Task Group are you referring to?
There's a monthly. Yeah.
The monthly
regional Lamprey Task Group.
Yeah, who's our core? I know Klugger goes.
Derek.
John Tagley.
Natalie, Derek, and Clugson.
There's usually not an FPOM rep on there.
I know, but they can report back to FPOM. And Tim is there on occasion. Hell no.
The task
force. Tom, I've got the idea for you. Fight yeah. that. So you can fight that. All those units kill us. So.
Gary, I'm going to give you a finger, and it may not be a cookie.
It's non-edible.
Yeah, non-edible. Yes, I know. Thank you.
Chew on this.
Well, I was just trying to be helpful.
Yeah, I know you are. Thank you for fighting.
So, back to the schedule.
So, Tom, I guess I would think what would maybe make sense is next Lamprey meeting, the monthly Lamprey meeting, they put it on there and let, whatever, just get it communicated.
That's the response. And I was also hoping our Lamprey guy was going
to
be here today, but I have not seen him, so...
I can attend the next Lamprey meeting is the point. And I can sit down and we can work through it.
In the meantime, you could also find out what is it possible to do it more than
if you want
to
construct a criticism.
What's
the point?
It's a huge
I'm always driver. Happy to budge.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Mr. Feichman.
So
at least I can figure an efficiency out of it.
Yeah. 100%.
So we okay. can we'll go down that path.
Go down that. That's just a
the
request.
Next meeting,
yep.
Make sure you're there.
Yep. Ryan, are you on the phone?
Yeah, we just got back in.
Okay. Hey, Scott, can you turn it up a little bit? Max volume. Okay. So you have who's in the room with you, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to jump forward on the agenda. Actually, on your agenda, I believe it's number 8, to the McNary Juvenile Bypass Screen at Oregon Shoulder Ladder Exit. And this is kind of an update as well as informational so that people understand what the system is that we have in place. And so just to provide the overview, I think we've talked about this before, but at the exit of the Oregon Shore Ladder, there is a screen that screens 1,240 CFS. 1,000 CFS go down to provide flow into the lower portion of the adult fishway. I think 140 CFS go to the wildlife area, and the remaining 100 CFS goes to the irrigation canal. And so that's how we come up with 1,240 CFS. It's because some of this water is going into the wildlife area and the irrigation canal. There is a screen at the upper end of that ladder that screens the water. And this has come up in FPOM because those screens are original screens at McNary, and they are shot. In fact, they're traveling screens. One of the two screens is no longer traveling. And so we had a long discussion about a year ago about, okay, what do we do? Do we just replace those screens in kind? So we just get working screens there. But if we do that, that's not meeting NOAA criteria. The new NOAA criteria, if we met the new NOAA criteria, it would be like a quadrupling of the screen, of the size of the existing screen. And it would be a huge effort. And then we started saying, okay, if we're going to be spending what could be, you know, tens of millions of dollars to do this, do we want to at least look into to try to figure out exactly what the system is and what potential fish impacts there are from the existing system before we go and spend tens of million dollars to fix a problem that really doesn't exist. So that's kind of where we're at in the process. this is an update from a couple months ago. We had coordinated potentially replacing these screens in November, and so that required some extra coordination. Long story short on that is we think we can contain that work to the winter maintenance period. Mm-hmm. So keep the ladders in operation and just do that work during the winter maintenance period. The screens have just been delivered to McNary, so they're on site. They're still waiting for other parts, so it's not like they could start today even if they wanted to. So they're still waiting for some other supplies to get there, but the screens have arrived. And what we decided to do was put new screens in. So we replace the old screens with new screens that are of similar size and functionality. And then at the same time, frame up a study to look at and to try to evaluate, do these new screens, are they working fine? Are they impacting fish? Kind of inform that. And so that's kind of the background. And what Ryan and Ann are on the phone for, Ryan's going to walk us through the existing system, because I'm not sure that folks understand, but they're actually, the fish screens that are there actually have a number of ports that can allow juvenile fish to enter a little mini juvenile bypass system and then dump back into the ladder. And so here, that's what this, there's a couple slides that Ryan's going to go over so people understand what the existing system is. And then I also want to make sure that we're all on the same page regarding next steps on this. And so, Ryan, Ann, you guys on track?
Yeah, I think the follow-up for next steps is, and we can talk about this in other meetings and other forums, but if people have specific ideas or specific reasons of this that they feel strongly that we need to monitor, now is the time or in the near future to for us to be having discussions on that. Today may not be the time, but if you have any, you know, that's a lot of what I'm here to listen for.
Okay, so kind of step one here is just make sure people are aware of what the existing system looks like and how it should be functioning once we get these new, the old screens replaced with the in-kind version this winter. So, Ryan, if you want to walk us through, we're now on the first slide that you provided.
Sure. That's really slide two is the first graphic.
Yep.
Okay. Well, on the what you have is the primary screens themselves. Those are the light gray. And directly adjacent to those, onto the north and to the south walls, you have 25 6-inch orifices, full height of the screen. And those orifices are connected through a vertical shaft that's 2.5 foot by 2.5 foot to.
Hold on a second, right? These are all these ports. It looks like there's.
Yeah.
There's 20 of them?
25 ports or orifices, and those are all 6-inch diameter, and the flow goes through those on the side into those vertical shafts, and that's highlighted in red on the side. That vertical shaft has two pipes coming out of it, a 22-inch and a 24-inch pipe that then merge and go into a 30-inch pipe. And then that exits into a side chamber in between the tilting weir and the first telescoping weir. The flow through the structure on each side is around 23 to 25 CFS. The average velocity going through at the front face up there by the ports or the orifices is about 5 feet per second through them. And when that flow enters the vertical shaft, it flows down, and it's about 1 foot per second inside that vertical shaft. Then the flow accelerates again, roughly 4 to 5 feet per second inside those 22-inch and the 24-inch pipes, and then maintains that velocity of around 4.5 to 5 feet per second through that 30-inch pipe to the exit. It then exits into that chamber and then flows into the ladder.
Hey, Ryan? Ryan?
Yeah.
It's Gary. How does that flow get into the ladder?
The flow over there, and you can flip through the slides. There are 2, 3, and 4. Let me see if I've got the best graphics, probably on the last slide.
Yeah, we're there.
And it enters that chamber towards the bottom of the chamber, but on the side. And then that flow kind of upwells and then goes through that picketed screens there and then enters the ladder from each side. Hmm. You have about 25 CFS from each side entering the ladder, so about 50 CFS total.
Does that make sense? I'm struggling. Who designed this?
What's the name?
Yeah, this is the same thing. Is this the node design?
Yeah. This is 50s design.
This is 50s design.
It's a core dam. That's all I can say.
Portland District designed this.
Okay. Okay, well, that's kind of questionable, that part, but go on.
Yeah, the driving hydraulics behind this is the tilting weir there should have a 1 foot head differential from the forebay to that area. So you have 1 foot head driving the system.
Just not sure how much, there's going to be some hold up in that tank, but it doesn't matter.
So that's the system.
Ryan, did you have anything else to add?
That's about it, hydraulically.
Okay. So, well, I might step in for a second, Tim, and this can be, like I said, continued in another forum. We could either have a conference call or something else. But what I'm going to need some input from the regional folks is just where is going to be our best location for monitoring. You know, we're concerned mostly with impingement and or entrainment around those large screens. And then, the depth, it seems to me that when I looked at the depth of that flow being pulled through the conduit, it was something between 15 and 40 feet below the surface elevation. So that kind of, suggested to me a potential area for monitoring, although I think previous discussions with the region highlighted just the surface. So people may not be prepared today, and like I said, we can talk about it at another time. But if anybody has any comments, I'm open for that today.
So Ann, what can you describe the kind of the basics of the study that you plan to launch this year?
It's meant to be a monitoring study, and I think we've been back and forth on the best technique. I won't say back and forth. I've had different suggestions from a couple people. I think in those suggestions have been either visual, so that we would use some of the newer video technology similar to what they use for lamprey in the ladder, and another option that's been suggested is just hydroacoustics. I think the drawback potentially to hydroacoustics would be no ability to really distinguish species. And I'm uncertain if we would be able to cover lamprey with that. But in order to cover both salmon and the potential for lamprey, I think we start potentially spreading out our depths fairly wide. Ryan has corrected what I just said. I looked at the overall flow field from a diagram that I had going into that conduit, and to me it looked like it was roughly, 15 to 40. He specifically said that the conduit exits between 32 and 40, so that's the specific depth with which that pipe leaves from behind the screen. And on the other hand, as he's talked about, we have a lot of these little fixing orifices running vertically, and obviously there's a concern from a management standpoint of what's going on, so maybe I need to rehear where people think their biggest concerns are here, and then maybe develop a little bit more. I have been leaning, I think, personally more towards video, just from the standpoint that we would be able to ID species, hopefully. On the other hand, this is going to be a dark environment, and I don't You know, I haven't used the technology, and I think we're still waiting on what they've done this far, even in the ladder at night, to know the extent to which that, you know, this technology really is applicable as we go to a place that's largely just going to be down below the surface. You know, there'll be some ambient light in the daytime. We'd be relying probably on lights with the video camera. And I don't know whether or not we can really stretch across the whole width of a screen, even if we were on either side, because what I've heard in some brief discussions with Derek was, you know, 3 to 5 feet kind of out from the camera. Well, that probably doesn't take us very far. It would allow us to either be above from the top where you could go across, or, you know, perhaps build some sort of device at a given depth to monitor, or, you know, is our concern really all across the screen face with what we're trying to see at a given depth?
And let's talk about the goals here, what we want. NOAA is requiring this. We're requiring the screen to be modified if necessary. My primary concern, I guess, well, first let me say I didn't know that bypass was there at all. So that was a new, even after we went down the road of setting up a study and all that stuff, that we didn't know this thing existed. I am still not considering this much of a bypass. It's one of those typical 1940s, 50s, this might work idea. It's got all kinds of problems. I'm hoping that we're not going down the road evaluating it. All I'm thinking is that it gives me some ideas on how we might get fish away from this screen system and avoid the $40 million or $30 million criteria screen option. So I'm looking at it as a way to move fish, probably not in its current configuration, but maybe if we knew where these fish were, depth-wise, we could concentrate our flow and pull it. I mean, that's a lot of flow. That's as much flow as a standard bypass system has in it. You know, we're talking 50 CFS. We could move a lot of flow. I would concentrate it at the area where we thought the fish were, but first you got to know where fish are. And it seems to me that if Fenton Kahn can tell me the difference between shad and sub-reeling Chinook passing through the sluice way of the Dalles, and we ought to be able to get some idea of what we're looking at with hydroacoustics here.
Okay, so that's your preference.
Well, it's just, I expected that we would have a fiddle wing type discussion about the bypass.
Well, I think we can have an outline, but somewhere in the not too distant future.
Maybe the fiddle wing meeting coming up.
Yeah, Thursday, maybe we can set a time when you guys are here for the final proposal review to have some further discussion.
I think you're going to find that nobody shows up for that meeting.
Okay.
I think most people I've talked to are going to be on the phone.
Okay.
So, and I definitely am not going to be there. I don't think Larry's going to be there. And I want to make sure Larry's involved in this.
Okay. So maybe I should just give you a call and come up with some dates and then send those out to the rest of the region?
Yeah, we could do that, or we could, I mean, if we have time, we could plan this for discussion at the next Fitter Week meeting in November.
I'm a little concerned about, if we push it out too far, whether I can get a contract out to get this in place during the winter work window before spill season.
For the study?
Yeah.
Yeah. As I'd definitely like to talk about the bypass with Ryan and Larry, how we might modify that structure to do a better job, given what we know about fish passes through bypasses. But the key, I think, is going to be knowing where these fish are, if there are any. Maybe we don't have to go down the road at all. But if there are fish, and if we can identify them with the hydroacoustics, at least to the size, and potentially to general.
Can I ask if Chris Vick is okay with that? Did I hear Tom was at this meeting?
Yeah, I was there. I was just waiting for Gary to quit flapping his gums, and I was going to ask a couple questions.
Okay, sorry.
I'm still getting you back on the Fike Net comment.
I'm not sure if you're well, you might have to wait a little longer.
About that.
I know. Yeah, I like to kill my sample size. I'm funny that way.
Stringer does that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks. The question we had is, I mean, with acoustic, the acoustic makes sense to us. The problem is we won't be able to figure out lamprey, because I don't think, unless FemCon has come up with some good way to measure, to be able to determine what lamprey is with an acoustic monitor, because that's really our concern with this is, like, do we have lamprey going through it? Because yeah. I don't think we have a way of measuring screen if there's screen impacts with it, or that's why a video might be better from that. I don't know.
Yeah, you probably
would be able to give us, if yeah. we, you know, I mean, there's a chance that we could do both, I guess, because we're trying to accommodate people's needs here. But I think we'd be wanting you to give us a range where you think we might want to hit for video specific to lamprey. And that's just going to take some professional judgment.
Can we just put a strainer on the front of the pipe?
You're a help. You're a help, Scott. Thanks.
Proven technique.
Yeah, proven technique to get to capture lamprey.
We can potentially ask. I think there is a lamprey group meeting in the next few weeks, and we can take this to them for also some advice. But you could maybe be thinking before I set this meeting up about if you would have some recommendations for the depth range you would want to monitor, Tom.
Well, you probably want to go deeper. The problem is you're not going to have light, so then that kind of takes out video. So you're kind of... Unless you did infrared, maybe.
Ann or Tim, question for you. When I was out there a couple months ago with Chuck Boggs, the exit screen, is that where U of I has their half duplex PTEC detectors?
I believe so.
Okay. And how far from that tilt weir is the lamprey orifice that they're doing the video monitoring on?
Well, they're on the three weirs, the next three, I think.
Yeah, the next
two or three weirs, yeah. And go downstream into the ladder. Sure. But there's uncertainty whether they'll be there next year monitoring. That was just, you know, I guess maybe Gary could answer that, but
right. Well, I was just going to suggest that maybe they have some experience with just how well the video monitoring worked there in those conditions and whether or not that would be applicable to...
Yeah, well, those are going to be like 8 feet deep. Those ones I think would work. For lab, we'd probably want to be deeper than I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Light there, then you can attract fish. Right. Well, they were used. All their light was the infrared. So.
Yeah, I think you use infrared, that actually worked.
Yeah, that's
or
what.
Or if you're going to use dead center, that's like a ball.
Well, that's why I was asking if there was any information out there.
And just, you know, another note on this. When I talked to Brad before he left, and was talking to him about the system, you know, because there's such a long distance of earthen dam section. There is very little flow coming over here, and that's what I was trying to pull up, and I wasn't able to right now. Just an aerial photo. Yeah. It's a good, I don't know, a quarter of a mile from here to the powerhouse, and so Brad was under the opinion that he told me very clearly. Now he didn't do a detailed study, and I don't want to claim that he did. But he was convinced that there was no juvenile fish issue here simply because there was no flow. He said all his years in checking over there, he had seen a handful of shad
and a bunch of lamprey,
and basically no salmonids over in this area. That's not to say they're not there, but it's to say he had never seen them.
No, there's some documentation of a few sub-yearlings, Tim.
Yeah, I think over the course of his 30 years, I think there was like...
Yeah, why can't you throw a Ditson?
The question, I mean, with a Ditson, you might be able
to... It's minor, and I think your issue is well taken, you know, depending on the type of operations that we're thinking about.
Hey, Ann, hold on a second. You had a question about Ditson?
I guess, Ditson might be able to do both. I don't know. This would be a great general question if Federwig talk, like have Con Fenton come and say, hey, if we use standard acoustic, you can get Salmon, can you do Lamprey? With Ditson, can you do both? And then get a cost differential between the two and
say it's not a cost.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Ditson, we put four Ditsons on there and you'd have a good, and we know we can get good.
You get coverage.
Is that a long beam or a short beam? You've got to be careful inside the flumes that are tiny, because we found it vulnerable.
This is the forebay we're looking at. I mean, this is between, the whole
You want to look out of the forebay or you want to do it in the back?
No, I just look at the front.
It's right in front. What we want to know is our fish approaching this thing.
Right in here?
Period. Yep. Yes. If we don't see fish in that area, then I don't care about this at all. So, lamprey.
Exactly.
Or fish. So fish in that, if they're approaching, fry. So that's the first question is, are they little, are they big? The second question is, are they lamprey or are they
right.
salmonids? If we can say no lamprey, no small fish, then the criteria changes to about what it is.
You know,
it's about 1 foot per second now, and our criteria is 0.8, so it's really close already. Plus the addition of having a bypass of some sort, I think, in Shop of Hook. Well, you know, and I want to talk to Ryan about how we might modify this to make it more useful, but the way that you do that is closing those 6-inch orifices, and maybe you drill some larger orifices that only pop.
Oh, you do like two, you do one at top, one at mid-depth, call it good.
Spread them out,
get
to increase the velocity into them as much as you can, and the volume at least. That might be a more effective system.
Anyway.
And then you don't look afterwards.
Careful.
Just run.
Yep. Check the box.
So my goal in putting this on here, I realize this is, there's a... The goal of putting this on here is this was a simple O&M issue at first. It was, how do we replace these screens? Do we replace in kind? So it was an O&M issue to start. And then it quickly became a research question as we decided to go with replacing the existing with existing and realize we're not meeting criteria. So we're framing up a study to see how negative are the impacts resulting from this old style of screen being installed. And so, do you want a follow-on meeting to kind of nail down the study? I mean, the goal here was to make sure that we, first of all, people didn't even realize that there was this bypass system. And so, that to me is an O&M issue. We need to understand the system that we have so that we can operate and maintain it. And then when it comes to kind of next steps, really the next steps on this is to frame up the study. And so we don't need to do that today. Now you understand the basics of what the system looks like. So I guess my question to Tom, Gary, we are going to have a study going on.
I'll answer one question I thought I heard was it seemed like Ann was going down the road a little bit of looking at this bypass. And as far as I'm concerned, that's just an ancillary thing. It just happens to be stuck on the side and something that I didn't know about that we might be able to modify. We're already passing 50 CFS. We can shape that 50 CFS to be more effective if we need it. Good. But I'd back up and say, are there any fish here at all?
I think you misunderstood me. I've really been focused in front of the screen pretty much with anything I've been talking about.
Okay, Ann. Good. The whole bypass thing I think should be a Federwig discussion. Shouldn't even be here for now. I wouldn't even look
at it. I think we just kind of wanted the first opportunity to give people a little bit more working knowledge and then follow it up. And, I don't know if you guys have your calendars there and want to start picking some dates to have
a follow-up. I'm open to follow those up with you if you want to
throw anything out. Do people have any time in the last week of October?
No, we have a fitter wig.
Yes.
In Walla Walla. Was it November
18th?
Okay, this is what.
Can we include it there?
I mean, the only thing I would, if I was the core, I would call Fenton and say, get the price difference between a standard acoustic, if that can meet our needs, the distance we think we can meet our needs, and then take a look at optical, give us three cost of those, and just give us, like I would just say, the capabilities of each of those three, and give us your guys' what you guys think is your default operation, what you're going
to
go with.
What you need to tell us.
Yeah.
You can tell us lamprey, you can tell us fry.
You know that we want to look at lamprey, adult, and sub-yearlings. tell us which system can meet that. Do you guys have a preference? If you guys got a recommendation, we'll take a look at it. If we have an issue with it, we can respond to you. And if we need to have a meeting before, then let's do it that way. I'd rather have some information in front of me before setting a meeting.
Well, you know, what we can do is ask people to come that are familiar with the technique. We really aren't going to be able to talk about cost. You know, we can maybe relative costs of techniques and technology, you know, and that kind of stuff, contracting standpoint, you know.
Okay, Ann. We
have some limitations there.
Right. We'll just talk about the goals and the tech and the methods and what might achieve the goals, and then I can go back to you guys for cost stuff. But last week of October, I have open, so it's up to other guys, really.
I hope you don't get your elk, because you're going to screw my season now.
Well, that's okay.
No, I can weasel in a day.
If you want it, or first week in November, or I can be in there somewhere. I move to Friday, the last Friday of the month.
That's usually when I'm going to go.
That's probably not a bad good one for you, though.
No.
To waste your time.
All I'm saying is I'm open for, I have 2 weeks there. Well, I just got one meeting.
Just be here now.
The turn meeting and the Parmarat meeting is going to be in there somewhere.
Pick a date, and if I can make it work, I can make it work. If not, we can respond.
What date? Last week of October?
Last week October, first week of November, but we have an AFF meeting on the 4th now, so.
Yep. Ann, Ryan, last week of October, first week of November?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have something probably the 27th, but most other days that week we could put together either a call or a in-person meeting somewhere.
Well, I'd like to have Larry Swenson there. He's not here, so okay. We need to get a announcement out to the right people.
Okay. So it'll go out to the whole Bitterwig rep group, and Larry can respond. You want to... Possibly, so maybe I'll toss out that week and see what response we get in terms of best time.
Okay.
How about Tuesday the 26th, October?
Do it at, say,
I need to check to see if FPAC is going on that.
Well, it's not a quiz based day, it's just a regular.
It's regular.
We talking about an all-day meeting or what?
No.
No.
No. I think we're just talking about a couple hours.
Yep. Can we do it in the afternoon?
Yeah, that or 11. Because I don't see FPAC going more than 2 hours. So we could do 11 o'clock. That way, it has to get done by noon. Otherwise, people get antsy for food, so.
11? That's a little short. That's an hour.
Does 1:30 work?
Yes, I can make it work. I'm just trying to. I am really getting tired of meeting creep, for God's sakes.
What else you got to do?
Oh, I don't know.
1:30 p.m. This should be. Yes, we should be able to limit this to an hour meeting, right?
Oh, yeah, an hour to two. Just give
it like a talking about getting a couple of engineers together.
1:30.
Hey.
1:30 to
3 p.m. Done. 26th. 1:30 to 3. Ann, can you send out a meeting announcement with a call-in number?
Okay, McNary, South Shore.
All right. Okay, thank you, guys. Thanks for putting it together, Ryan.
You're welcome.
All right.
If I could take a quick moment, I just want to introduce Brian. You can stand up. We just hired him on. He is going to be our the new lamprey guy.
Brian.
So yeah.
What's your last name? What's your last name?
McElraith. I was going to say McElraith, but I didn't want to butcher it any worse than. Don't ask.
McIllraith.
He came from University of Idaho, so he's spent some time around RT, so you can bug him about that. So he's going to basically kind of take on much of our lamprey stuff. So I will encourage you to talk to Tim sometime about getting the dead lamprey, because I know you want to get those out of your freezers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this brings up something. I was talking with Dean Ballinger out of Bonneville, and found out that they basically just tossed their lamprey down too, back to the river. So if folks are interested in getting their hands on these...
Are these alive or dead?
These are dead.
Okay.
These are dead. Port lamprey.
Just one check.
That go with the rest of their warts out to the glory hole. And if folks want to get their hands on these, you might...
Might be a location.
Home monitoring folks. And see if they can put them in little baggies and put them in the freezer along with the rest of the...
That
lab
those
projects.
That's
another source of genetic material.
Genetic and toxicology work. Okay. Yeah, no, thanks. That'd be great.
Winter maintenance.
Maybe a little better. That's the thing. These people know exactly what they passed the project on. You don't know the strainers.
It's in with a month. But yeah, if Dean, yeah, if you can just put like a little tag of when, what day they were, and throw them in the freezer.
Those guys need. It needs to go through proper channels, but it just seems to me there's a source of samples and how long loss stop the money.
No, that sounds good. Thanks.
We're going to finish these updates for sure, and then we'll talk about that, Scott. All right, 3.6 winter maintenance schedule, Greg.
We have in Willow District winter ladder maintenance schedule out for your review. It will occur during the regular 2 month period of time. It doesn't affect any dates outside of that. But it also includes the little boots in PE 3.
Yeah, I got that on 3.8.
Oh, okay. I won't save it. I didn't see that.
All right.
But it's the winter maintenance period. We're holding through that at this time.
Okay. 3.7, we've already talked about as far as goose urtic trip. 3.8 is just a reminder that the
gonna be done.
Yeah, they're gonna be done this winter. I will not promise that they're gonna be complete by end of February, but. Folks understand the winter maintenance period.
We know.
And the only issue was just, if everything goes perfectly, the cement should be dry and everything should be just fine for that permanent closure to water up on 1 March. There was some concern that, well, we have to make sure that we have enough time for the curing process. But everyone knows the winter maintenance period, and we're on track right now to have it done within the winter maintenance window. Right. And then the last issue is just juvenile fish facility transportation update. John, did you want to provide a 3-minute update?
Well, basically right now, transport ended October 1st at Lower Monumental and McNary. Little Goose and Lower Granite are transporting every other day. They are, in recent weeks, they've had some pretty good numbers of sub-reel enough where they have to use a bigger tanker. And the numbers of subs are unusually high this year, late in the season. Usually, typically what happens is we'll have a last gasp as the water cools off and maybe a little bit of runoff and then not have any more. Well, this year they kept on coming.
Darn fish.
Right now the numbers are dropping off and they're able to use the mini tankers as they plan, but they'd have to use the big one a few more times this time around. So I don't know if this is going to be a continuing thing each year or whether it's just a one time.
It happens like that. Some years I'm older can surprise you.
But it's a good problem to have. So
we'll deal with it.
So we should be expanding the spill season?
More than a second.
There you go, I like
stop
it.
Stop early and move it to October. We've actually talked about that.
Okay, we're done with updates.
All right, so we can go to coordination notification forms.
Scott was asking about whether we wanted to power through for... or break for lunch.
What do we think we could? I see a lot of powering to do. Why don't you do your coordination forms and then take a break?
Yeah, we can do that.
Not much.
All right, let's do that. Let's knock off number four, and then we'll take a half hour. And
obviously, just grab your lunch, bring it back.
And then bring it back if you want it.
All right, so the Bond DSM-1 outfall removal comments were due the 4th of October, and that is going forward as coordinated. If you don't like it, you should have thought about that sooner.
I'm just hoping to scope our pool, for our fisheries.
Yeah.
Next. Keep going.
Next one's Walla Walla.
If you don't like that one either.
Yeah, if you don't like that, there's the door.
Low monumental fish pump number 3.
You want to go to lunch?
Too bad. I coordinated an outage for all 3 fish pumps at that period of time from the test it. They were not able to get to the testing on that thing right now. Or the tailwaters and the entrance conditions still remain fine. They'll probably get to this testing later on during the winter maintenance period after all.
Okay.
All right, so the John Day November STS inspections. John Day would like to forego the November STS inspections since their camera does not work and they have to do it manually, and that takes a lot of time. So
and that would be the last week of November, and then we just holding, we're keeping the screens in operation for the fallback. So we think it's pretty reasonable.
I saw food over there.
Great.
Is your camera going to get fixed?
Buying a new one, or what are you doing?
Are you going to fix it, buy a new one? What's your guys' plan?
The camera is going to be fixed for the next passage. Mm-hmm.
So
your brand new video system and hardware, new cameras, new monitor, new wiring, and that's quite good.
Can you guys monitor the amperage that those screens pull? And now you can do the Bonneville. Walk down the gallery and you check the amperage to make sure that one of them isn't getting out or it's got a log stuck in or something like that, and it's full of 10 amps instead of 3.
Okay.
You guys, can you do that?
Yeah, sure. I can tell they're very good.
Do they normally look? Do they know what normal is? And that's one way of checking. That's what I always do when I'm
looking at the screen next to
the project. Does that much? But I always check that. This is the monitors. Something unusual.
All different.
Yeah. See those spike. I mean, the motor's
working.
Pulling.
Okay.
Got it, something jammed or a log stuck in there. But it's one way of looking at to make sure the screens are operating normally. And there could be no mesh on there, and you wouldn't notice it without.
The screen's going great.
So the motor's running fine. But
hopefully not. Yeah.
But if there's sometimes when they get something jammed in, which they can, then that'll show up.
Okay.
That way. It's just one way of remotely checking.
Okay.
So then not everyone's okay with it?
Check that. Yeah, that's...
Well, no, we're fine with letting you slide, but we are requesting you guys get a camera so we can actually get back to this. And in the interim, use the motor amperage as a poor man's monitoring.
No, but we're so far out now.
Yeah.
Of course, with Greg's report of a bunch of fish coming down.
Now they're collecting them all.
John's. Whoever it was.
Yeah, but they're
collecting. Somebody over there.
Yeah, it's a little thing.
Like a million, huh?
Yeah. Jeremy collected all on me.
The Bond Powerhouse 1, Unit 9 priority. So you'll remember Unit 7 was moved up in priority for the 100-day test. They're now asking that Unit 9 be moved up to 3rd in Powerhouse 1 unit priority so they can run it as much as possible during the 100-day test.
How about Unit 11?
What?
That's coming. That's coming.
Pretty soon.
Now I hear
it. Throw that out there.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
It's been moved to after the start of fish passage.
That's about it.
Is 7 done with this one?
7 is done. So you'll recall that a change form was requested to move Unit 7 because it was explained to us that it needed 100 days of runtime. Yeah. That is incorrect. So that change form has been pulled from.
How much time does it need?
They get 100 days, and however much time they run in that 100 days is what they get.
So it's a 100-day test, but it doesn't necessarily have to run the whole time.
Exactly. Okay. Okay.
I got you. Oh, it's just bad. So hence the core is, would definitely like to prefer to run it to ensure.
So the little Goose Ice Harbor one? Okay.
And that's it for me.
Look up, it's extra.
There's two more.
We can probably blow through this.
Two more?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you want to explain the tri-packs real quick about Little Goose? We want to start.
I think we can get through this before lunch and then just
call it.
15 minutes now to finish up and
okay.
Go for it. Yeah. Wait a minute. We had. We have two more coordination updates: Ice Harbor and
Little Goose. That's for Tim Wick. He's on the phone.
Okay. What is it?
Tim, you want to talk about
these are pipes? These are for installation of trolley pipes for deployment of JFET gear, we want to put those on Ice Harbor and Little Goose this winter. Asking for an early start before the winter work window, primarily because at Ice Harbor we have to put covers over the slots with the fish screens in them, and can't do that if the fish screens are up. They come up in December. And I think it will be later than November 1st based on some other information we got from the contractor, but I don't have a firm date right now. I think Little Goose will probably be into December based on a line outage that they're having in late November, early December.
Any issues?
They'll be diving, they'll be unit shifting.
They'll have up to four units out at a time when they're doing the powerhouse.
We'll be diving for the insulated electric cut units.
Okay. Scott,
it's more of a power concern.
It's
four units out at a time. At which time?
This is from about mid-November to about mid-December.
Pray for no pulse now.
Depends on the flow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get her done.
Yeah. All right. So how's this?
Okay.
Can we ask a stupid question?
No.
Okay. We're still operating the ladder, right?
The ladder's still 100% operation.
Yeah. Is it meeting criteria with traction flows then? Like, turbine damage isn't going to...
Yeah, that won't affect the adult ladder.
Okay.
It won't affect the ladder, just going to be your priority unit.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Might affect your traction at the entrance point is good, but that's...
Because of the priority unit.
Exactly.
Yes. Did you coordinate this with RCC yet?
What are the
dates
again?
New outage person.
Tim, what are the dates?
Mid-November.
Who is the new outage?
I don't have specific dates right now. The kickoff meeting with the contractor should be within the next week or so, and at that time, there'll be some coordination with RCC to be
I'm not aware of who the new person is right now, backfilling in behind Don Faulkner.
Where's Don?
There hasn't been, he's in Afghanistan. Tim, this is Doug Bouse. In the interim, he's including on any RCC coordination you need for fell type coordination.
Okay, Doug.
Thank you.
Is he going to hook up with Bob Wertheimer? Yeah. Bob's coming back in
Bob's
June.
Bob's got his own tribe over there, for God's sake.
If he doesn't come back, then his job gets filled, his position. He can't hold it after June, so.
He's only been gone 2 years.
2 years?
2 years, yeah.
What's that? I know. He can't do it anymore unless he wants to give up his position with Fish Passage Team. Okay, we have one more, 4.6.
Tim, are you all set?
Yeah, I think so.
Got everything, Tim?
All right.
Yep.
Thanks.
Is the Bonneville JSAT, University of Idaho, wants to install a node into the fishway using a cable and a 50 to 80 pound weight in the Washington Shore and Cascade Island fishway so they can evaluate the detection efficiency of JSATs for lamprey.
It was sent out this morning. I just got it. Now, Brad Eppert has expressed some concerns about the plan.
Yeah. So,
where's Brad?
I guess...
Where?
Washington Shore and Cascades Island.
It's for their
node?
It's for their node. It's for their lamprey.
Yeah,
tracking.
Perhaps you would like time to review the actual document before you make any decision.
So they just want to throw a big note out in the fishway and test to see if it can detect fish? seems to be what they're suggesting.
Time to review it, I'll just say
each location available, deploy, find.
Just an 80-pound weight. It's not that big of a weight.
Well, you've seen his nose.
Yeah.
Nose is huge.
Here, I'll let you read it.
We don't have to discuss it.
No, we don't have to discuss it. It just came out, so read it.
Okay. So let's see. They only want to leave it in for a couple days.
Yeah, they're just testing it. See if.
Can they bump it past a little bit later? I mean, is there a reason they need to do October 18th and 22nd just because it's nice weather?
I don't know.
They want to do it like that.
It's awfully nice, man.
It would be like next.
Yeah.
Dude, I want you in the elevator.
I'm going to give him a hug.
Yeah. So sweet. It's haunting.
I can see if Chris 18, can call in real so quick. So they want next Monday?
I don't know. Why don't we get our comments first?
What's that? Yeah, I don't have a big issue. I mean,
I don't have a problem with throwing in next week.
But after the test, then what? Right.
Well, stay put.
And how did you find out Brad had problems with the issues?
Because he emailed us.
What did he say? Don't talk about this at F-bomb.
According to the attached write-up, it looks like you are planning to deploy autonomous receivers outside the fishway. This is likely a waste of time and resources. When we talked about
sounds
it
like
initially,
rough.
The recommendation was to use a cable system since this is how you would most likely deploy for a study. I say a waste because the auto nodes have an omnidirectional hydrophone and are configured to be as sensitive as possible in order to detect tags out as far as possible. You are not able to adjust the gain or baffle the hydrophone toward any noise sources. So you'll likely find detection difficult in that environment because you're using the wrong receiver. Given you're wanting to use this technology next year, I would suggest you test a system that was designed and is therefore better suited for monitoring close to the concrete. Brad.
Ditto on those comments?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the noise in the ladder is going to...
Well, that's probably why they're testing it. I just want to see how much noise there is. I'm just trying to figure out why they would go with an autonomous node instead of a cable. I need to see some justification of what the big advantage would be doing.
I don't want to see how they would kind of put this thing in there. But I don't want something bobbing around in there that's, 10-inch diameter or 4-foot-long pipe.
Bobbing around.
We will get a hold of Chris and have him
explain.
If they want to attach to the sidewall or something like that,
Chris,
who has some explaining to do?
This draft needs to get expanded.
Okay.
All right, so we can push through. Shouldn't be that long, really. Because the DSM-2 early outage request, you guys talked about this in length at Fitterwig.
Has it been solved?
Right. So Conowoc has agreed to move BGS removal from 1 December to 15 December, and the DSM outfall contractor has agreed to work
over the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of if you guys agree to operate unscreened units with the DSM running.
The BGS corner reflector running.
Yes.
Have you guys talked to RCC Water Quality, talk about potential waiver constraints? Because God forbid, if tailwater stays low, you might have issues.
Well, that was the concern, I think, after Fitterwig, was to better understand where we are right now. And so it sounds clear that with this information, we have a plan. We can move forward and coordinate appropriately. So I think I'll go with this information now.
Heaven forbid.
I'm just saying, we plan to use the corner collector, and if you guys come back and say, oh, crap, we don't have water, we're having problems with water quality, I guess we'll just keep moving forward and just not operate the corner collector. I mean, you got
to
have both.
Then if we can't run the corner collector, then this all comes to a screeching halt.
Okay. So,
but I don't see how, I mean, gas levels right now are running at Warren Dale about 101%. We'd have to add almost 10% TDG from the corner collector to make that.
I'm just saying, I don't want them to.
I know, and I agree with you, Tom. I'm agreeing, but I don't
think it's going to be a problem. I just want that box checked.
If it is a problem, then it's a
showstopper.
But you're saying, though, so for now you're in support of the two units of powerhouse to unscreen, so essentially you'll have the 20K there and open up the B2 corner collector to get the 15 there, so then you're up to 80, 20, and 5, so we're up to...
Well, it's all 8 units available.
All,
nothing's not available yet, but all seven that are, they'll be unscreened and available.
Yep.
We don't plan on using all seven, but we don't.
Priority is first powerhouse. But yes. You can use what you need to use.
That's a second.
Hopefully it's not more than a couple of units. Should be, is 12 backup, is it available?
Should
so 12, 13, 14, something like that. I would say, I don't want them going on the other side of 15. I said that the other day too, because then you're into the Yeti, and that's
all right, so 12, 13, 14,
I don't think they can
15.
Due to the divers and the work that's going
yeah,
on
that's
there.
Yeah, that's what
I said. You can go far away as you want, but I don't want the whole powerhouse
right.
Running. I mean,
but I need to have that okay. I don't know what closing is. It's super high closing on the divers in the water. Either.
From my standpoint, my standpoint is I'm fine with going, if you're going to start with 12 or 12, 13, 14,
yeah.
Let's keep going down the line. I'm fine with that. You just better talk to the core because with the divers in the water, you may not be allowed to because
we may have to
diver
safety. But I don't want to prevent
the divers.
You're still
the
spillway. Whether you like it or not, you're still the spillway. We talked about this being an emergency. That's not the gas. It's not a gas issue. So
if they
have to take it down,
if
it
could
be on 15, I'd say
spill it.
If it becomes a routine
killer,
then we're going to
have to
report
to
the court. No, I agree with
you.
That's $5 million change.
Yeah, you don't have anything else.
Hope so.
So that's...
I'm going to go deer hunting, so it should turn absolutely crappy weather, lots of rain, so
right.
I might just take care of it.
Could be, like the football game last night?
Yeah.
See how much rain can come on?
Oh, I know.
What are you saying to that? Maybe I'm missing it. You're saying that if we don't agree to something beyond unit 15, then you guys pull your support for the whole thing?
That's why I need to go back and check. Because right now the corner collector coming on is...
You can live with?
Yeah. The if you have to turn on the spillway, that's even less palpable. But having the ability to run those units if you need to is something that we don't want to get away from.
No. Not going to be on 15. Unit 15 is the max.
So you
only
give
them
3 units?
That's what the corner collector is effective for.
So you've given them 4 units?
Mm-hmm.
12, 13, and 14.
12, 13, 12, 14, 14, and 15.
14 and 15.
So you get 4.
Yeah, 4 units.
4 units, which is, 40. You know, like 15K each, 30, 60K above.
60K
so
plus 80 plus 5.
60K plus powerhouse 1.
It does.
Plus the corner collector, plus miscellaneous.
Okay.
And you can, and you should be able to run to the MGRs a little higher at powerhouse 1 actually outside the unit, so you might
that's,
be able to
yeah,
kick
if
up a little
available.
More.
I would
if
be okay
available.
With that too, if you want to run.
Yeah.
Well, it's outside the 1%,
yeah.
So you can go higher.
Yeah, you can. So, yeah. So I think that's
so
actually good.
So then start and stop on this expected operation, was that settled on? As far as I heard, there were some contract dates that were modified to weekend work. We have an official start and end date then?
So the project will start pulling screens on the 8th or 9th of November.
You did 18 first.
The one thing I would
18,
add,
yeah.
Add to from that, it's just, you know, screens will be out. There shouldn't be much attraction of the gay wells, but project bio should keep an eye on it just to make sure we don't have a pile of something in those gay wells. If there is, we need to pull the DPS.
And then when is this plan to be completed?
28th of February.
28th of.
This particular operation will just go through until 15 December when screens would normally be pulled.
Will they pull
okay.
DVSs up anyway?
Not at Powerhouse 2.
So when will the corner collector be expected to come on?
Yeah, when would you like that on?
Probably as soon as screens south of 15 get pulled. 15
well, I would
and
say open it if you run in.
Yeah.
You don't need to run units, you don't have to run them.
Okay.
It's crazy. So,
okay, so that'll be the trigger. Anytime you
run
units.
Anytime you
run
units at second powerhouse, you know, if the flow comes up enough. Which
but
I think
it'll have to just
enough,
stay
you know,
open
just
more
stay.
Than
yeah.
likely.
But the question is if it's blowing wind.
That's a wind issue.
Right.
The lovely wind issue.
So pulling the.
So I think it'll. To make it easy, I mean, if we're going to open it, it should just be open.
Right.
Right, but it may not be able to be open for a week sometimes.
Well, then we'll see if we can open it the 8th, and if not, then the 9th, then...
Right, but like I said, the criteria is when you get to the need for opening it, then you attempt to open it and continue to attempt until conditions are allow you to do it. But you get to run the units on screen until the wind blows.
Scott's going to be out there with his billows.
Yeah,
gauge.
Yeah.
then you open the spillway. I mean, you got the water coming. You got 120, you got to pass.
I know.
So the water's got to go somewhere.
So, yeah, you run two spill gates until you get those, that,
data.
Funnel collector.
Go ahead and run the data.
Right, but it's 40K is filled, so is that okay with you guys?
Or at least could we proactive and speculate on the weather so we could use STP forecasts, which ultimately may not be as accurate as we'd like them to be, but I guess what I'm throwing out to you is if we anticipate a larger volume of water than anticipated, might we be able to do some preventative measures ahead, if we look at the STP, we're expecting a big slug of water.
Oh, yeah.
Might we be able to go that route of saying, just to hedge on the fact that if we get winds, open up a couple days in advance.
I'm not going to have a problem with it. You're going to be talking.
Right. The other house that I live in.
Right.
Scott's going to be the one you're going to have that issue with.
Do you know when you might get any feedback on this whole operation as far as...
More than I've already got. What are they doing?
Well, I think we kind of hammered it down today, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'll get tomorrow.
Then you and I will follow up.
Yes. Okay. And I believe we're okay with it.
You know, I hear Friday's a great day to open up a corner collector.
It is.
Yeah.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, it's just been a big issue with corner collector. Undependability of start times. So that's why
the whole 5K is...
If we would have a hoist, I'd...
Why don't you have your engineers design it then?
Yeah. Sounds of hoist not working. Yeah. How many times can we complain?
All right, anything else on that number fiver?
Let's hope not.
Joy.
Smile.
So it closes.
I'll wait to see what your notes say.
Get out the fingers. Yeah. Put a finger in your pocket for that.
So it's a part of like it closes on the 15th or the 16th.
The 15th is December.
Screens would be pulled on the 15th, so right. I would...
Is it a midday when the crews are available, or the midnight? Before the crew goes home on the 15th, can they put the car collector back to bed?
I go with that.
Okay. Yes.
Unless it's high wind.
Right, you can't do it. That keeps falling.
Oh, lovely.
So all right.
Those are the details we want to
Need to work those details out.
Okay.
You can do it at noon. I don't care.
Hopefully the 15th is a work day.
It is. It's middle week.
Yeah.
It's a Wednesday.
Officially after the so before the crews leave, they will shut it down.
Unless you see super high winds coming.
As soon as possible.
And during the morning.
After.
Screens are pulled, then you screens are pulled. Right.
Yeah. If you look at your wind forecast by afternoon, you're going to get blown away.
Yeah.
Do it in the morning.
So.
Yeah.
Plan for the morning.
Well, plan for end of day, but wind constraints, go for the morning.
Well, it's
windy the day before. It's probably going to be windy that day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Take a look at your wind.
Okay, let's close off five. Shut it off. Done. Don't want to talk about it anymore.
Promise.
Six is basically all the gear that Fenton has out there. And
he'd like to
remove it all.
Hey, John Day.
John Day, the Dalles, Bonneville.
All in November.
Well,
the
November 8th.
Dalles you might want to hold off on.
Hey, we need your input on this.
Sorry. Fenton's removing his hydrogen.
Tim, you're leaving, right?
Yeah.
See ya.
See
you in February. Yeah. Get out of here.
Get out.
You're not helping.
Right. Presumably, he would know whether or not he's going to have studies that he has to do.
There was a talk about that. I don't know if I can find
it. Thanks a lot.
I'm not
fiddling.
You weren't me. Did you hear
him? Hey, what's up? I'm just saying, John Day totally makes sense. I'm fine with that. The Dalles is the one I would see a little more because I don't know if we've come to a resolution of what the hell we're doing at the Dalles this coming year, if we're doing evaluation or not.
Yes, that's Mike.
So, for the Dalles, you're still kind of, you want to get resolution on the ice address.
Yeah, make sure we're not doing an evaluation.
Where you, now, hasn't that gear been in there for...
2 years.
2 years, yeah.
At least.
And they just checked the...
They make sure that...
There's transducers.
Fenton's work at the Dalles.
Yeah.
So, they're talking to pulling it. But have we made a resolution we're not going to do an evaluation this year?
Okay, so well,
I'm wishy-washy.
Okay, so we'll say, can we say that if you come to resolution on what we're going to do with Ice and Trash Sluice Way, if we need to keep the equipment in, he's still going to need an outage to go in there and check it. So can we still coordinate this outage? Or
yeah,
the removal or the calibration of that equipment in November?
Calibration.
But doesn't he have all
he's got all the
all week, that's what. Right. A whole month.
Yeah.
because he's got to start it. Well, we weren't really talking much about November.
Yeah, right.
So he's got some time. But that's okay, yeah.
Does it require a unit of just to take it out?
Yes.
Divers.
At the Dalles, it should be fairly easy. He just wants to close the sluice gates at each end when he is at each end. John Day requires unit outages and spill bay 2 closure.
Bay 2.
And then Bonneville requires ice and trash sluice way closure, which is why it's been scheduled for November when Powerhouse 1 has the outfall removal going on, so there won't be any units
operating. And I'm talking 3 hours.
So basically this was in October.
Yeah. It was in October. We've moved it to November for fewer fish impacts.
So we can...
Week of November 8th, right?
Yeah.
Week of November 8th from 3 to noon at John Day for the Bay 2 and...
Okay, well, John Day, John Day,
John Day.
We're moving it to November.
Yeah, you're 11th, 8th, and 11th, 9th.
So.
You'll coordinate that with your new guy?
Your new guy.
Your old. No, the unit outages is something that probably won't be a problem at John Day in November, but you never know. You need to get it in the outage file.
Yeah. We're fine with it.
So what are they taking out? They're taking out the nodes?
Yeah, all the hydroacoustic.
Put them in the fish line.
Transducers, isn't it?
Transducer clusters from the forebay. They need to be removed for maintenance.
Just for winter, we'll be able to come back next spring. Then we'll have another outage.
There is a safety issue because the cables are getting pulled while they're removing the clusters. All working inside the DMZ.
Booby trap.
But main unit 1 and 2 is cables. In the past, they have tried to do it with the units on, and their cables were getting pulled.
I'm fine.
Okay. Yeah. Good. We'll coordinate it with the new guy, whoever that is. So, and as far as John Day goes, we'll plan for it, but it all depends on what the outcome of the ice trash sluiceway work is.
The Dalles.
At the Dalles, I meant, sorry.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's taking out the other acoustic stuff too, so that's fine. Just, I'm assuming he'll probably leave his the stuff for the sluiceway monitors in. So.
Never assume.
That's why we said don't take it out. Show me the research.
Okay.
And then for Bonneville, it's the closure of the ice and trash sluiceway for the removal.
The same time as you're doing the other one. So.
Right. That shouldn't be a problem. Great. Number 7, the Dalles Avian Array. I guess we're talking about the sluiceway and the, I guess there's a wedge that we have to... Powerhouse wedge that we're planning on installing, and the impacts of tribal. I guess what do you need? You just need to coordinate this through Critic.
Well, I'm running it through Paul Cloutier right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's where I'd start.
So it's coming your way.
And then he'll talk to the fisherman, I'm assuming, and I'll let Stuart know to give him a heads up.
Yeah, we just need to nail down exactly where all the attachments are going to be, and we're going through that right now.
Just we don't even want singing wires.
No singing wires.
No singing wires, that's the request.
No tripping wires.
Unless they use ringtone.
Yeah.
I think I turned it off. I don't know.
So Paul suggested it come to F-POM for coordination as well. And did you all look at the picture?
Does F-POM have any issues with us installing the lines over the sluiceway and the missing piece at the powerhouse? The wedge. Avian lines. I think the only... We already went through this last... F-bomb, it's just the impacts to the tribal fishers.
Yes, there is, yeah.
So somebody sent out a bunch of pictures, graphics.
Uh-huh.
Which one are we doing?
The ice and trash sluiceway at the Dalles.
It would have been with your F-bomb agenda.
And then there's also a wedge on the powerhouse that's missing.
Cell thing, which is weird.
So
on that graphic, the sluice way isn't entirely accurate. There's a few more lines in there that we didn't have in the in that.
Okay.
But yeah, we're doing the same thing.
And the only question we had, talking to people internally, was like, you guys think you'll be able to, if you see a big push of birds somewhere, you guys will be able to do some more aggressive hazing at that location?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I sort of just thinking that lamprey seem to be the go-to food of choice for gulls.
Yeah.
So
that week or two that they're coming through.
Yeah.
So
cool. I'll make sure that's taken care of.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to handle this. The wires just don't.
The wires might slim down for half a second, but you need to do something much more aggressive. Like you need something in concert. Cool. We's good then.
Alrighty. Task group updates. The shad, the ties, and the AFF will be November 4th.
Bump it up. What about zero muscle?
The Bonneville slow roll.
Is that done?
Ben, if you're still on there. How's that Bonneville slow roll task group going?
Well, I haven't worked on it too much over the last 3 weeks, but I don't know.
We're waiting for our fearless leader.
He's back.
Is that Dr.?
That's Ben.
Oh, Ben. Right.
Ben is back.
Cool.
So I don't actually remember what the last...
You were going to get feedback, weren't you, from HTC on how to implement it?
How about my change forms?
HTC had no input whatsoever other than to say they weren't concerned about it unless operators on site had issues. They noticed.
I changed forms. Just make sure you got on there.
So do we need to continue talking about the slow roll? Or
I think we need to close out something. You know.
Would you like to do that the 4th of November?
Oh, God.
Close it out?
I don't think it's much to it. Just kind of figuring out the wording we wanted for time of year, duration. You know, if it was started regardless of, you know, the length of time it was down.
Right. So we need that written up in a coordination form, and then we can just bring it to a bomb.
That's easy enough. I can do it.
All right. Thanks. And then the zebra muscle task group.
I'm not sure how that turned into a task group for a while. We're working on it.
Yeah.
We'll let
you're
know.
Still getting more information on Zebranox or Zinc. What is it called?
Zebranox.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically it was the last F-bomb.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess the you have to get that information and then have a task group assembled and meet.
I don't know if we need a task group. Okay. We're just getting the information. We'll let you know.
Okay.
That's what we find out from DEQ. We're kind of getting the runaround right now.
From DEQ?
Like 10 different people already.
Only 10? You got another 10 to go.
halfway.
So 11 is change forms ready for review. Powerhouse 2 unit priority at Bonneville.
Gary, did you look at this one?
We already did that.
I didn't look at it, no. I didn't.
Okay, this is Loris's change form switching powerhouse.
Hey, how did I do it?
One in on us.
Unit priority.
Oh, okay.
Have we just broken you down now?
He basically goes the four units on, or two units on each end, and then does the middle.
Well, 12, working way down.
11, 18, 12, 17 is what you have. Then 13, 14, 15, 16.
Yes.
So it's two end units first.
Ooh, wow, you did it all fancy too.
South to north.
Mm.
Yes.
Does that work for you?
Do you have a copy or you want to see it?
I've seen it.
Tom, is that what you did this year?
No.
No, it's different.
No, that's the problem is that after looking at the sluiceway data we had, it's like, wow, we're running a lot of northern units for no good reason. And if we want everything to go through the sluiceway, we should probably be using that end more. So it's just kind of a more of a southern.
You need to see this?
Yeah. The only thing is, it looks like Tammy's already done it. She's already made the change to the year round. She preemptively made that decision for us.
I told you I did. I sent it to you.
I know. I know you did. Yes.
Tom, though, that's as far as what happened this year with the change in unit priority at Lomo for navigation. I'm just concerned with how, if it's different. Just where to go from here, because that was one of the things I did hear from the project was they, I recall that there was a liking of how we changed the unit priority for the project. So I guess I would be concerned if that late season change we did for navigation basically provided a more navigation friendly pattern.
Well, that was low. This is Bonneville.
This is Bonneville. Sorry, I thought we were on
Lomo's coming up. Lomo is the Lomo. Yeah,
sorry. This is Bonneville. I thought we were talking about Bonneville.
No, Lomo right, is basically. I'm just memorializing.
Everybody approves that.
Holy crap!
All right,
come on. We don't need two more meetings on this one.
See that? You put your paperwork in, and you know, things go the way they should.
Give me a finger. Give me a damn finger.
Everybody, give Tom a finger.
So the next one is Dallas Sluiceway. Focus. Dallas Sluiceway.
Done yet?
It corrects the language for how they actually close the sluiceway for installing the orifice sealing devices.
Sealing devices.
OSD.
OSDs.
No. These are the ones. Whenever they have to dewater a unit, then they have to draw it down, put the post in.
They should be dewatered and leave end gate open.
They're not all permanent yet. They're working.
What are you guys doing? That's been like 25 years since we started that.
And they're halfway through.
25 more.
Three. 22 minutes.
It's a slow process. It's quality, not quantity, Gary. Quality, not quantity.
It's all about the ceiling.
Basically, this language is how they do it, and what was in there before was not correct. So if you'd like the correct language in there, I recommend you approve this.
So if they do it, then this is...
Okay.
Yes, that's fine.
Any problems, issues?
Done and done.
Okay, Lomo. What do you got there? Turbine unit priority for Lomo.
I somehow got suckered into doing another change form for that one, so I basically just memorialized what operation we did this last year.
Yeah. And I'd like to, thank Tom for getting this thing done, but I'd like to hold back approval on this thing because we just got this last week. I was gone all last week, and so I didn't farm this thing out to the project for your comments.
All righty. We can wait.
I'd like to have a delay.
Bring it to next F-bomb, okay?
It's good with me.
All right, done.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it. All right.
Done and done. One three change forms we have.
EBS cleaning, FPP change forms. Lomo unit loading priority, okay?
That one's completed.
Houseman believes that gate wells will not be dipped.
That
still needs to get discussed through...
The ties group.
The ties group.
Are the ties out yet?
The ties are out, I believe.
Mm.
Three of them.
I think only four of them were out. Three or four. Hey,
there's
Ben.
Three out and three in right now.
Yeah. Three and three.
Half in.
Working on it.
And I did my change form. Yay.
Okay, so that really wraps it up. I believe one of the things is the November 4th meeting. We'll be meeting for the ties group, and all the rest of these meetings are current. SRWG is Thursday, correct?
Where is that? Proposal, Walla Walla.
In Walla Walla,
for
you guys
those that are making
drink
the drive.
Some fine wine for me.
I think unless I'm doing
leave
it from
those
home.
Pheasants alone.
That's next year.
Is it pheasant
hunting? I think it's
Sarge. Ties task group for the F-bomb.
No,
okay.
No, that's what Marvin did.
So the next F-bomb will be 9 December at NOAA.
No, it's 17 November.
17 November, which is a day earlier.
No, it's not. It's a week later.
It's on Wednesday?
It's a day before my birthday. How about that?
We'll make sure to have a cake.
Sure. I think we need to have a F-POM potluck type thing, you know, get together.
I can bring some venison and fish.
Really?
You used to do that all the time.
Where?
At the Bonneville Project.
No, I want it off project. I don't like to have meetings in the summit room. I don't like to drink beer on project.
Yeah, especially now the position you're in.
We
had fish. Hurston usually brought.
Really?
Have you guys never brought this up before?
That was the old days.
I've added you, now you're just going to get a bunch of emails.
That's fine. So definitely let me know where require the AFF staff meeting. And that will be there.
Okay.
And when is the corner collector going to water up? Okay. That's the one thing I missed out on. Was that the December 16th or was that the November?
It should be the November.
No,